one item on the agenda today. You know, when you read the presentation from Land Bank, it says financing as culture, and I leave it there for 100 years. How many years?
100
years. But the important thing there is financing as culture. So that's why we have agriculture in Land Bank here with us. And that is one item. Specifically, it seeks to give an update on support given to stressed farmers and also the newly developed wholesale financing model. We all get to hear all the time when we talk about financing of agriculture, what the members here and everybody else here, morning mama, has to say about Land Bank. We, Deputy Minister, I always talk about, five pillars. If you are to sustainably exploit our natural resources, whether it's going to be land, it's going to be, crops on the land, mineral assets, and, type of fish. Those five pillars, they talk about, management expertise, access to affordable finance. Very important adjectives. Because they make and they break whatever effort you have had. And then, of course, marketing, access, research and development, and, value addition in whatever, primary produce you shall have had. Now, we only have one apology that is before us from Inkosi Sobhuku. It is the norm. We only recognize those written apologies. Anything else is a hearsay. Now, we did hear that, he was not to come, he was never recorded. So those are the few remarks I would make without waste of time. Initially, the thought was to get the department leading, and then the Deputy Minister had pleaded, welcome Deputy Minister Tantanene from Finance Committee. The CEO, you get to hear people talking about, the London CEO. And I want to believe today that we're seeing a ghost. Because people would say, no, you're no longer there, he's gone. But somebody is almost about to come and so on, to take over. You hear all of those stories. As I'm saying, we're probably seeing a ghost of you today. Senior, why are you wearing your hat in a meeting? If you don't mind, we all love you. Thank you, sir. So we shall then, members, on that plea from the Deputy Minister, allow the Land Bank to come before us. Maybe another question you might wish to respond to as you go ahead, Deputy Minister. Granted, this is, out of a proclamation, July 2007, if I'm not mistaken, where in the transfer of Land Bank and its functionality from agriculture to finance. Because one of the major issues, if you have to talk about any success of any farming activity, is finance. And I use those two adjectives, that is acceptable and affordable. Without waste of time, members, I think we should allow the Deputy Minister and his team to go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and I also would like to express my sincere appreciation and gratitude for having been able to prevail upon you to allow us to present first, because of my apology to what to leave early. Even though I'm supposed to be fully behind the team, I'm not leading the delegation. I'm fully behind the delegation from the Land and Agricultural Development Bank of South Africa. We want to
and that we're meeting today on the 11th of September is absolutely no significance at all. September 11th, no significance.
To South Africa, yes, except for where quantitative easing comes from and its attendant consequences. Jefferson, let me try and introduce the subject and trust that we would be able to stay within your time parameters and that our delegation here is going to be able to respond to the committee's issues on the table. Chair, I want to add a few things to your introductory remarks. The first qualification I want to add to your access to affordable finance, I just would want also to add one qualification of sustainability, because I think it is important that institutions like the Land and Agricultural Development Bank of Southern Africa, if, in the absence of sustainability, which was the biggest problem when the bank fell into the situation that it did. But as the country would know, that the Land and Development Bank of Southern Africa is a government-owned development bank in the Republic of South Africa, which was established as a development finance institution in 1912, the same year that the mighty African National Congress was founded. It was founded by the then government of South Africa as a development finance institution. And we're here to share with the committee progress that has been made in support of emerging farmers. As you said, there is only one item on the agenda. The support of Parliament, and particularly this committee and guidance that has been provided, has actually been one of the pillars of support for the work of the institution. This committee and other committees of Parliament, that is finance, rural development and land reform, should therefore be proud of the role that they have played in improving the performance of the bank and holding it to account. Since 2008, as you have indicated, Chairperson, since that presidential proclamation, the bank has grown its loan book from 13 billion to almost 30 billion as of July 2013. The performing book has grown by more than 100%, indicating that the bank was not only looking at growing its loan book, but the emphasis was also on growing the quality of the book, hence the sustainability I spoke about as an important element. Accordingly, during this period, Chairperson and members of the committee, non-performing loans and impairments have also improved by more than 30%, which contributes tremendously to the sustainability I'm referring to. This happened, despite the global financial challenges. The agricultural market share has increased from 20 to 31%, and during the past 3 years, we have the bank has dispersed an amount of 1.8 billion to emerging farmers. This will increase to more than 6 billion by the end of this medium-term expenditure framework, that's 2016-17. In accordance with the bank's 2016 corporate landscape, we find that there is going to be an acceleration in this area. I can therefore say without any shadow of doubt that the bank is the leading financial institution in the South African agricultural sector. Chair and members of the committee, for today's engagement, the emphasis will be on the role of the bank, which it has placed with regard to emerging farmers, and therefore the committee will have the reasons to see that a lot of it has been done. 2010, Cabinet approved the piloting of two programs aimed at assisting financially distressed emerging farmers who are clients of the bank. The programs were labeled Curatorship Model and Value Chain Financing Model, the BCFM, the Interministerial Committee, which involved the State Department, the National Treasury, Rural Development and Land Reform, and Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. They proposed that curatorship model be molded towards ensuring that financially distressed farmers would transfer right of control of the land to the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, whilst allowing them continued access to the land. The main idea was to protect the enterprises without compromising the sustainability of the bank. About 283 farms were identified, as we will hear in the presentation, for this purpose, and 232 million rand in cash, in cash-backed guarantees, were made available to the two departments, which are Rural Development and Agriculture and Forestry and Fisheries, of which 208 were from the Department of Rural Development, which was for mortgage loans, and 24 million from DAF, for production loans. As the Chief Executive will explain, Chair, significant progress has been made, but the process has been slow and quite daunting and challenging. Notwithstanding, I'm aware that 18 farms with loans to the value of about 18 million out of the total mortgage loans of these 288 have now been regularized. This means that these farms have now been resuscitated out of RCU. The review has revealed that others belong to deceased estates. The good news, Chair, is that 37 loans have been settled, and some farms have also been sold to the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. About 50% of the 283 has now been processed, with about 146 that are still outstanding. Chair and committee members, the original strategy was to complete this resuscitation process before instituting the next phase, which was the value chain financing model, with new loans being advanced in order now to implement the next phase. This position was reviewed given the challenges in the process, and the decision was taken to also move with the next stage, which would also benefit new entrants into the sector. The process is not going to wait until the third one is complete before proceeding with the objective of entrenching support to emerging farmers and ensuring the creation of new farmers for the sustainability of our agricultural sector, but contributing to the growing of our economy, as we have seen the role that agriculture plays, particularly in the primary sector. And the Chief Executive again will talk to this chairperson, the second layer of this journey, which is now the value chain financing model, was conceived in a comprehensive package that goes beyond finance to include technical support in order to safeguard the success of these enterprises. The bank created a new banking division, which is called the REM, the Retail Emerging Markets, which you'll hear more about shortly, on a specific focus on the black emerging farmers. And these farmers would ordinarily not qualify for finance elsewhere, the person and members of the committee, and are different from those that are in the commercial space or those that are in, interested in equity from large agribusinesses. Then a wholesale financing facility was also launched to form part of the network of support through market-established intermediaries. The facility is funded using both the bank and government funds to ensure that emerging farmers get subsidized interest rates. The Department of Agriculture, Fisheries and Forestry so far contributed 50 million to this facility, and about 248 million has already been dispersed since the inception of REM to emerging farmers, accompanied by the comprehensive support that is requisite for the success of emerging farmers. As you said, Chair, the access to affordable finance is important. As a result of this approach, while the bank has made the necessary provision for defaults, this part of the loan book remains the best performing. This goes against all of our preconceptions about emerging farmers, Chair. We have a story to tell about farmers that have actually that are making it to this area because of this support. Now, the good view of what is possible with emerging farmers, lessons have been learned through the challenges that I alluded to, and that the chief executive is still going to be taking the committee through. We consider this a stepping stone to a process that holds a lot of potential for the transformation of the country's agricultural sector. Cabinet has mandated the Interministerial Committee to pilot the curatorship model and the Emerging Farmer Support Facility, and has actually said that if these models prove successful and an evaluation is performed, the relevant ministers, as I've said, the three, agriculture, rural development, and ourselves, explore the possibility of expanding these on a wider scale in the sector. We are now preparing the chair to go back to cabinet with a memo outlining these success outcomes, and will ask for fair support for emerging farmers. The chief executive and his team will now take us through more details in terms of the bank's performance, and more specifically the progress that has been made with emerging farmers bank. I'd also like to conclude, Chair, by requesting continued support from Parliament through its parliamentary committees like yourselves that have worked with the bank, including the other two, which are finance and rural development, to continue this support in order to be able to discharge our responsibilities as required by the legislation and as our contribution to the developmental agenda of our government. Thanks, Chair, for allowing us to address. I'm now going to hand over to the Chief Executive, who will also introduce his team. And also thanks to the team from Agriculture for allowing us to jump the queue. Thank you very much.
Chairman, members of the committee, Deputy Minister, we thank you for the opportunity you are giving us to come and present the development strategy of the Land Bank, primarily with regard to emerging farmers. Could I please introduce my colleague from the Land Bank? Next to the Deputy Minister is Harry Moy. Harry is the head of the Distressed Farmers Unit. That's a unit that was established to deal with the farmers as per instruction from the cabinet, and that you need to deal with them. Next to him, it's M.K. Caesar. He's the head of retail emerging markets. That's the unit that was created after cabinet had said we need to come up with a value balancing model, that is, to come up with a new business model that will deal with emerging farmers has been created. And next to MK is Lindy Wembalose, who is our Chief Risk Officer. That's the person who manages the flow of funds as far as the approval of rules are concerned, through the committees, of course, not as an individual. Once again, Deputy Minister, thanks for the introduction. We have made a presentation, Chair, and we will request that we run through it. It's about 18. We'll try to run a bit quicker, 18 slides. The first one, Chair, is the Land Bank set itself a target to achieve by 2016, that is the market share of 35%. Now, what is important is when you set yourself to that target, you should have the risk measures or risk tolerance, the levels within which those levels could be achieved. Now, for the year under review, that is 12-13 ending end of March, we have set ourselves to grow the book by 15%, that is 3.3 billion. Market share, we wanted to arrive at about 80%. And the cost to income, we wanted to achieve at about 8.9. Now, members would agree with me. This cost to income is relatively high at 80.9%. That means that for each rent you get, 8.9% of that would be used for cost. But this is primarily because we still have dealing with some legal issues. That is legal cost and review of things that happened in the past. But during that same period, we are putting new systems in to ensure that the Land Bank is efficient. So to do all those things, we're looking at about 80.9 by end of March 2013. The rule of thumb, the Chairman, is that the DFIs should have the cost to income of about 65% because they have a development responsibility. And if we are evaluating that against your commercial banks, the commercial banks are sitting at about 50 to 55 cost to income. We hope, as you can see over the years, that we will reduce that cost to income to about 66. But again, this is not our performance. These are tolerances. We'll come back and explain what have we achieved on the cost of income this year. The 19th interest margin, we're looking at 3.5 general. And members, the gross interest margin was 34.4%. The capital adequacy, we were hoping that if we grow the book by 15%, then the capital adequacy will be at about 34%. The non-performing loans, we were hoping that we'll reduce it by the end of the financial year to 8%. Again, it looks very, very high. But if members consider that in 2008, when we started this trajectory, the non-performing loans were 22.5%, you'll see the journey that's been traveled and the risk tolerance levels that we've given ourselves. On growing development, we're looking at 550 million. That will go on until 2016, achieving a total amount of about 6 billion. If I may, through you, Jay, just report back how we performed this year. The loan book, instead of a 50%, we managed to grow it by 24%. But members will know that a year before, that is 2011-12, we had managed to grow the performing book by 54%. So in the year under review, it grew by 24%. The market share, we maintained that level at about 30%. The cost to income, we managed to maintain our cost relatively well, and we achieved, the actual was 67.7, which is very close to the 65%, which is appropriate for a development finance institution. The area where we didn't meet our target is net interest margin. We're looking to achieve 3.4%. We came at 3.2%. The major reason was a 50 basis point cut by the Reserve Bank of the repo. Now, what happens is if the Reserve Bank cuts the interest, we had not budgeted for that, and no one in the financial market is doing it. If that happens, we immediately have to review our cost, our lending rate, immediately on that day. But we have commitments that go up until a year two that are fixed that we cannot change. So if you can't make a projection from the net interest margin, you'll find that you pay. We failed to achieve that 3.4%, but the beta was 0.2%, which is relatively close to the level. The capital adequacy, the target was as per direction and instruction from the National Treasury that we keep it at 20%. We came at 24.4%. But again, that needs to be explained. Because we borrowed more to increase the funding book, it means the assets against the liabilities, the liability against us grew by a bigger percentage. So we are still sitting at 24%. We are talking to the National Treasury. Non-performing loans, we're looking at 8%. As the Deputy Minister has indicated, we came at 4.9%. On development, against 580, we came at 654 million. So that's roughly the performance of the bank. The BSSM ratio stands for Business Sustainability Scenario Model. Those ratios within which we have to achieve, within which we have to achieve the targeted level of 35% in the market share. Now, just to put this in the graph, again, the Deputy Minister indicated that's where we started in our 8 years. The non-performing loans were 22% at 3.2 billion. I thought that the performing book was 11 billion. So the sustainability of the institution was not guaranteed at all. We have managed to grow the book to 26.5 billion. That is at the end of the financial year, at the end of March. But we maintained, we were able to reduce the non-performing loans. So the performing loans have reduced both because the book is growing, but importantly is that the rand amount of non-performing loans continue to decrease. And in as much as at the end of the financial year, we had non-performing loans at 1.4 billion. This is round off. The real amount was 1.337 billion, which means that in rand amount, they have reduced by 52 million. Again, with the impairments, the loss of asset value because of NPLs that you write off, as defined in Israel. Yeah. We're sitting at 16.2%, which again was questioned the sustainability of the bank, with impairment sitting at 2.3 billion. In line with the growing book, the performing book has grown, and impairments have reduced to 3.1%. That is, for the year under review, we reduced the impairments by 9 million. This also has an environment, Chair, where all financial institutions are basing an increasing impairment level, an increasing non-performing loans, a decreasing performing book. So we've been able to turn that way around, and we hope that with the economy that is going to pick up over the next 3-4 years, the bank will be in a far better position than where it was about 5 years back. But having said that, the issue of the capital adequacy will have to be looked into. Now, looking at development, which is the priority of this committee for today's meeting, in 2010, before I go in there, I would like to highlight that this is minus about 4 billion or so that was the reaching of from 2004-05 up until 2007-08 because of the products that were introduced for emerging farmers were not tailor-made for those farmers. So the land bank was pricing risk. In other words, if your probability to default is very, very high, you will pay more than, you know, a very sustainable business. A very good example, a person who earns more, who earns, say, a million, if he goes to buy a car, the bank charges that person less than a person who earns 300 and who wants to buy a car. Why the banking or the financial institutions do so is because they are pricing the risk, the probability to default. And that is what the bank was doing all along. I remember in 08, Chair, when we came here, that was a big issue that the bank is advancing. We have dealt with that issue. We have introduced new instruments that are not pricing the risk, but that are pricing the ability of this guy to succeed. That is, how can we assist the person beyond the financial assistance? There's other activities and other responsibilities that the bank has to be involved in, which are, for example, the off-takers, people that the farmer will be able to sell to, and also the assistance, but we are coming to that. But in development, in 2010-11, when the NHA's office was established, we managed to disperse 456 million. In 2012, we went to 752 million. Last year, we were targeting about 50 million, but like we have indicated, we came up with 654 million. So over the past 3 years, we've been able to come up with about 1.8 billion disbursement. We'll come and explain this in detail. Over the next 4 years, for us to achieve the 6 billion total loan development, this is how it's going to be achieved. We're showing different bank units of the land bank. REM is the new business unit that is dealing with the farmers who cannot access funding from the commercial bank or any other financial institution, be it because of the balance sheet or because of their credit. We've been able to get those. The second one is RCB, is retail commercial banking. That is where people that have access, that can access their balance sheet, we have credit, do get the funding. Then the largest chunk, the green there, is business and corporate banking. This is mainly dealing with the cooperative, where a group of black people will take an equity stake in this farming cooperatives or institutions, or they want to buy some of the commercial banks and have a commercial viable business plan. We're hoping that over the next 4 years, this is how we'll be spread for us to achieve 6 billion. But we are confident that we'll achieve more than 6 billion because as we talk now, we should disperse 1.5 billion, was it even 1.8 billion. But we have learned more. We're more confident that we'll achieve more than the set target. Of course, within those risk measures that we talked about earlier. Now, through you, Deputy Minister, we have wanted to highlight the role that is played by the land bank and the impact that the land bank has on agriculture in South Africa. Now, the members were right. If you're looking here, the land bank has always been cheaper than cooperatives and commercial banks. But in 2003, the bank felt that the sustainability, its sustainability, was no longer guaranteed. Then the bank decided to increase the lending rate above the commercial banks and above the co-ops. Of course, when the bank did that between 2003-04 up until 2007, the first thing that happened is that a lot of the clients, especially those that had options, left the bank. But what is important for this committee is that when the bank did that, the return on investment of the farmers dropped, as you can see, is below. It dropped, it is the investment at all. When the land bank then started to review its operations from 07 and 08, put a new general strategy, one of the things I think the Deputy Minister was alluding to, which the chairperson has read, was the affordable funding. When you put that affordable funding, when the land bank was once again cheaper than the commercial banks and cheaper than the co-ops, of which the majority of them lend from or from the bank, the return on investment of the farmers improved. So the importance of this story is that the bigger the role the land bank plays in agriculture, the better will be the impact or the sustainability of the farming sector in South Africa. That's the first point. But we'll be the first people to indicate that this impact, this is not only reliant on the land bank, there are other variables. But it is no mistake that when the bank is sustainable and doing well, the farmers are doing well. So it does play a critical role. Having done so, we just want to indicate the market share which the Deputy Minister has indicated, how it has grown to about 31% as we are talking now, from a low of about 18-20% in 07-08. This is just putting the figures, numbers. At the end of this financial year, we're sitting at 80.2, and in June, we're sitting at 81.7, and we hope that we'll close the new financial year ending March next year at about 82.5 or so. Now, going back to the question, having laid the ground of how the bank is performed broadly in agriculture, now trying to explain what has happened, as the Deputy Minister indicated, after the involvement of cabinet. What was the curatorship model? The curatorship model was saying, take the farmers that were on legal in 2009 in the books of the land bank, resuscitate them, get the assistance from the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Rural Development. Then cabinet approved a pilot project. It said, while you are looking back on those farmers that have struggled, try to put a plan on how we're going to deal with emerging farmers. Put new products that are tailor-made for emerging farmers so that we do not have the problems that we've had previously where emerging farmers were struggling every time we put them in. Now, the first thing we did is what we have already explained, was to review the land bank. The land bank all along had the retail, commercial, and the business corporate banking units, business units. Of course, we have the subsidiary, the Land Bank Insurance Company. We then created a new business unit, Retail Emerging Market. Now, the Retail Emerging Market is not targeting all black farmers. It targets those black farmers, small-scale farmers, who otherwise will not have access to finance, be it because of credit or be it because the balance sheet doesn't allow them to do so. Now, what we did, the biggest problem is the Land Bank operate on 100% borrowed money, except the recapitalization that you receive from the government on the balance sheet side. Now, once you put this market in, the investors, we thought, they said we are not going to put the money in. So what we did was to reinvent this retail emerging market. Then the land bank take its profits to the retail emerging market. And the land bank insurance company does so. So the commercial side of the land bank, the more successful it is, the more is the ability of the land bank to deal with the retail market. Then the land bank insurance company will do exactly the same. If you are looking at other DFIs globally, you will note that they do not borrow 100% from the market. They also have an injection from government and from other institutions, for example, multilateral institutions. That we are still talking to the government. But having said so, we also have contribution by the Department of Rural Development and Department of Agriculture. The Deputy Minister indicated that for them, the Department of Agriculture has given us 15 million. Secondly, we have borrowed 1 billion from African Development Bank. Out of that billion rand, 500 million would be used for them. Now, that's the executive summary, Chair. It just indicates the challenges we had when we introduced this REM. I'm not going to be particularly attending on. We have covered it. It has the problems that the farmers were facing and the solution, which I've already indicated. It's not only financing that is required to assist the emerging farmers, but also the non-financial support, end-to-end support, optic and technical assistance. But what is important again is the disbursement should not be cash. It should be cashless. Because if it's cash, no money disappears. So the farmers will come and you create an avenue where they don't get cash, but they will get the product what they are buying. Now, that's the system. I'll quickly go through this. The members who were here in 08, 09 when we started with this, we did explain. What is happening is currently the borrower comes to the land bank and borrows money. Then that is all. Disappears in 6 months' time or whatever, depending on the agreement. That farmer will have to pay back. What we did is, let's provide the technical support. The farmers come in the group through the agricultural cooperative or agricultural commissions. And we assess their willingness, their ability to pay in the business plan. Then we approve that. Once we approve that, the Department of Agriculture comes in to assist. It gives us a 30% of funding, which I'll explain later. Once that has been done, then we've done the credit assessment. There will be additional support that we get, which is offtake. You know, the farmers will know that someone will come by and say they are farm, I mean they are produced. And by so doing, we are able to reduce the probability of a farmer to default. Let me explain in detail. The farmer comes to the land bank, and the land bank says, we will give you a loan at 0%. But the department, we borrow that money 6%. Then we give the farmer zero interest. The Department of Agriculture comes in and assists that farmer by providing 4% interest, which means we're making a loss of 2% by the contribution on development. But the Department of Agriculture does not only provide 4% to the land bank. It then provides an additional 4% to the agriculture formation, that is assisting, so that they do not charge this farmer any interest, and they can only charge 4% to them. In so doing, the farmers can only pay 4% interest. The Department of Agriculture and Land Bank deal with it and ensure that the cost is reduced. But it's not just the cost. That there is technical assistance, but there's also off-take. Now, these are the projects that have been done by MK's office during the past 3 years. The amount that has been approved is 633 million. And out of that 333 million, these are attempts. The year that it was granted, expiry in line with the term, the amount dispersed. You will see that although, for example, the first two are worth up to 100 million, they have dispersed about 84 million. The most pleasing thing in these numbers is here, and that is, as the Deputy Minister indicated, that the non-performing loans are minimal. That is, because of the partnership with the formations, the non-performing loans in the past 3 years are minimal. We've only recorded, I think, during the past 3 months or so, yeah, that the direct land client, which we gave 33 million, about 30,000 of that, they are facing challenges, they might not be able to service this. That is non-performing of 0.01%. But for us then to be able to, because this is still a pilot project, for the bank to be able to expand this by bigger amounts than what we have done, it is therefore important that the Ministers of Agriculture, Rural Development and Finance go back to Cabinet to explain the success that has been achieved with this. It means at some stage and at this level in time, we now have a product that has been designed for emerging farmers. Of course, there are no profits that are made, but in development you don't need profit. What matters is what the Deputy Minister has indicated. Can the bank be sustainable in this project? This just indicates what the bank achieved, that's the red one, over the past 3 years against the target it set by share. Now, what has been the impact of this? Sorry, I think. What has been the impact of dispersing? Out of 633 million that's been approved of dispersing, 257. There's more disbursements that are coming in. One is we have farmers that have been financed at 280. Jobs created, permanent employees 4,300, seasonal is 1,005, the beneficiaries that have impacted is 51,000, and yeah, the hectares that have been farmed, owned, is 9,002. But what is important is there is in communal hectares that have been farmed, which otherwise would not have been able to go into, is 49,000. Farmers that have received mentorship is 219, training and program is 713. That was by the end of the financial year. It might have improved. Value assets that have increased is 42 million and still growing. And the turnover of these farmers is 12 million. Now, we just wanted to put the capital required. These are the existing clients and the amount that has been dispersed. But what is important is the pipeline. That will take us, that goes to 1.21 billion. These are the requests that have been made that the land bank is working on. That unfortunately will need the process to be finalized of going back to cabinet before the whole thing will be done. But we see this as the future of how emerging farmer support facility should operate. It's a bit of the land bank, a bit of government, a bit of commercial bank, a bit of agricultural formations. For example, NERPO, which is an agricultural formation, mainly for black farmers, which has done very well in red meat. Now, that's the story of the forward-looking value financing model. That is, what is it? It's a wholesale financing model. That is what we have done. Then, with regards to backward-looking, which the cabinet has said, take those farmers, see if you can resuscitate them. Once we have resuscitated them, we look at the model. That the department, the cabinet gave us a right to work on in 2010 December. And we received a guarantee of 233 million because the land bank, if it is defaulted, according to NCR, cannot on land. The Department of Rural Development gave us this, and the Department of Agriculture Trade gave us 24 million for production loans. We then sought the assistance of the Rural Bank, which has done very well globally in projects like this. And we started embarking on this project. We categorized the farmers, but three forms of farmers of emerging through default. One are those that have chosen not to pay. They just make it pay, with just because we are paying. The second group was the farms where you have people that are really trying the best they could under trying times, then they can still be resuscitated. That was the largest chunk of the farms. And Harry here is working on that. The third group of people was farms that have been abandoned. And we have quite a large number. 233, how many? 65 that have just been abandoned, have been left, and nothing is happening. Those who are with DRDLR, they can take them over. We've been working very closely with DRDLR on this. With the other one, we're working mainly closely with the Department of Agriculture. Now, the challenges that we picked up, it was easy when we put the plan, then we go talk to the farmers, then they would take the farm, give it to the Department of Agriculture, and they would give them loans, and it continued. It looked very civil when it was written as a plan. But there are a lot of legal considerations and NCA that came up. But the major, major problem is that customers in group loans pose a serious problem. The government would have given 10 people a farm. When they split, they find the state, you have three that leave. You cannot have a transaction with the seven that are left. You have to get the three. Now, they don't know where those three are. And then you have to go around trying to get them because there's no project that can take place. So there's a disintegration, and they will no longer operate. Farms have been abandoned, and unfortunately, chasing the owners takes time. It's time-consuming. But the equipment that is there, again, has been abandoned or has been sold. They've been vandalized, and some of the farmers, you know, their indebtedness is just very high. Some farmers, unfortunately, were not cooperative. We went and you come and say, work with the Department of Rural Development. They would assist you. But they will need, for you to get a cash guarantee, you will need to hand over. Just because it should be their book. Once you have worked out this thing over 5 years, it comes back to you. And some farmers were saying, no, that's not what we told. We are not willing to give back the farm to agriculture. We want government to bail us out just to give us money and continue like this. And that doesn't work legally. Then there's the issue of land claims, where in some farmers there's a land claim and the farmers don't know what should happen as they move forward. how we assisted the farmers, the initial tribe together, and especially group ones. The individual is easy. The farm will come, sign, we proceed. Bring the individuals in, we talk in farm area itself. We recommend the assistance from Department of Agriculture, the Department of Rural Development, and the Agriculture Research Council. And we bring in strategic partners to assist. We use the value chain financing model. That is the one we explained that has been successful. We engage with other partners, the commodity groups like sugar, companies, co-ops, suppliers. We are willing to come in and say, we're willing to provide that system. Working with DRD for recapitalization, we restructure the loan. We monitor the two strategic partners that are involved in agriculture on a day-to-day basis because the land bank doesn't have those extensions. And again, one thing that will have helped here are extension officers who are reporting to government. But their operation is too much to be desired. Now, out of the 283 that were declared legal in 30 June 2009, the loan amount to rand amount was 233 million. 58 of these farmers have been offered to DRDLR because, as we have indicated, they have been banned. That is of an amount of about 61 million the Department of Rural Development is working on. I mean, about 12 or so have since been transferred fully. The rest we are still working on finalizing. Out of this 283, 15 are deceased estates, which is 11 million. We are tracking the right process, unfortunately. There are 18. We targeted the big ones out of this 283 million to try and restructure and regularize. 18 of those, but on the rand amounts, 89 million of this 233 has been restructured. And within that, 46 funds have been settled. Those are small ones that are only 500,000, 600,000. We sit and say, how can we restructure this? But there are still 146 that need attention. Now you will note, if we didn't have the legal and all the challenges of each transaction, it would take up to 3 or 4 months before you come through. We could have done better. But because of our challenges, it takes us just a bit now. Now, going forward, we'll intensify the process. We'll continue to work with the DRDLR on recapitalization models. Harry is a member of the evaluation committee of the Department of Rural Development, where he provides them with this fund and they buy them from there. And also, it's the National Land Acquisition Recapitalization. Yeah, that's where you are. We'll continue to work with the Department of Agriculture on food security. We'll continue to engage with strategic partners on agriculture to improve that. So, Chair, in a nutshell, what we're going to do going forward is what the Deputy Minister has already alluded to. We will request support from this committee that we continue to work with the distressed farmers, which will take another 2-3 years. It takes a bit longer. But what is important is that we now have a product that can work. That this committee supports us when the three ministers go to cabinet to say we have a model, but this model can only work if government is willing or able to provide some kind of financial assistance. And with that, Chair, I thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and I think that does put the picture before the committee, the story of where we come from, the story of where we are, and the story of where we are going. And I trust that we have a solid partnership here that learn from the lessons of an arduous and heavy task. And I imagine anybody that is involved in farming would know that perhaps they could have chosen another career than choosing farming, but when done properly, it indeed is a rewarding career, and with the proper support and sustainable development, financial institution and committed government and the private sector that works in that space in order to support those farmers, it indeed is an important pillar of our economy. Thanks, Chair, and as I had indicated that I would ask to be released, please, when you see move out, it won't be out of disrespect, but it will be because of the other person challenges, and I would be leaving you in the capable hands of the team that is always in their own out there. it's only for today that we are together. Most of the time they do work alone. thanks. Very
no, thank you, Deputy Minister. I think ideally, Mr. Bangau, welcome. We would, Mr. Van Dalen, we would move straight to agriculture so that we don't repeat or rather preempt some things that otherwise could have been said, you know, by agriculture department. Mr. Dalen.
Thanks, Chair. We are here to support the land bank. There's no presentation. We have discussed it with the land bank.
That's fine. Members, that being said, it then allows us time to engage with both departments. Again, ideally, you know, you need to have a joint session here with the Finance Committee. And also, thank you, sir. And also the rural development and land reform. If we are to get a comprehensive picture in response to some of the issues raised, that being said about annual assessment plans, that being said about annual report process, the three must be together. I'm seated here, you know, thinking, you know, in my own little mind as to what really happens when you are with the Finance Committee. Do you finally get to see yourself literally dealing with cold figures to an extent that, you know, our interest here is more about, you know, people figures at the end, food security and safety of such food. That's what brings us together as a committee on finance and on our agriculture, forest and fisheries. You know, as I'm listening, I don't make that mistake with that. I've been serving that committee at the time, you know, that process had just taken off. It was 2007, actually, July. So that's the kind of, you know, scenario that we find ourselves as we listen to the presentation, almost 50 minutes of a presentation. That shall have, you know, given us to a very large extent, you know, those cold figures without much of what we are about on a daily basis. And I think we should have that at the top of our minds. And the other intended consequence is that we go to find ourselves literally, as I say, dealing with about, you know, everything that talks land bank. I know, you know, members, you know, we have a long standing interest on the investigations that have been taking place. And the simple answer expected from you is that the matter is still under statutory care. That's how you get to get this department. You know, to an extent, we need to find, you know, a time, an opportunity wherein we are all by ourselves, no media, no other people, precisely because matter is still under subject care. We be taken into confidence. We all know what happens when you have those closed sessions. You know, you take that oath and whatnot. So that you respect the confidentiality. Nobody goes out into the media. We are to be taken on board into confidence so that we get a sense of where is the process so far as the investigations are concerned. So has it been coming for a long, long, long time, with no end in sight. Okay. So those are the issues that I thought numbers we should, you know, also for the land bank department to be quite, you know, conscious of the fact that we shall deal literally with everything as if we are in an annual report session, as if we are in a strategic plan session and related. Members, the floor is open. Last in, first in. Mr. Banga, Mr. Abram, Mr. Vandala, and Mr. Stay.
Thank you, Chair. I was a bit scared to see the numbers because I'm not a numbers person. I was a bit really confused. But I was listening to you with keen interest. But those who understand the numbers will explain the numbers. I'll just talk about you. That's why I didn't read the chapter one in the dialectical materialism and focus to historical materialism. Now I'm going to just talk about the few. My interest, I wish also the minister was here. We have been having a conversation in relation, myself and the chairperson, when we're in the prison. We've seen a number of schemes throughout the country. And I'm reading what is written there, financing agriculture for the past 100 years. And within the context of what we've been discussing with the chair, there's always been an argument that the successful commercial white farmers in South Africa are a result of the product and the work that the World Bank have done in the past. Because you see, when you are a communist, you want to talk about IMF and the World Bank. Now, the land bank have been doing in the past. Now, I want to tell you, with the new proposal, the new model, new approach that you are presenting, is it intended, attempting to make a kind of intervention that will develop a huge number of commercial farmers in the similar fashion as we see in the country? Because I'm told that government was at the forefront of financing what we see successful commercial farmers in the country. But when we look into the tools we have currently, we are not necessarily being successful in producing sustainable commercial farmers that are in the main plan. Now, is this new model, this type of proposal that the CEO, I assume, I arrived very late, and that is going to be proposed in the cabinet, an intention to address that particular gap, to see results, tangible results, with the theme written in this paper of the land bank, financing agriculture for the past 100 years. That's the first one. The second one, Chair, is the issue of, I don't understand the loan book. I'm a history student that did this, just a stupid education. But I think I have a bit of understanding what a loan book is. And the bank, in the main, if we want to see sustainability, you must be able to see a stability in relation to that. I'm presenting, compared to what was happening 5 years, 7 years back, a stabilization of your collection in terms of your loans and so on. I've been working with the NYDA in another committee. Their loan book was in a very terrible state. Meaning, are we improving in relation to that for what was happening 5 years back, 7 years back? Is that what you are telling us? There is a farmer in the first state, chairperson in our oversight, that we met. I think the lawyer is that gentleman. I think you have an idea of what we want to achieve, but there's a little bit of support and challenges that was confronted with me. To an extent, he acquired the farm through a private loan, which is through FNB. Now, because of the challenges he's facing now with of production, the sustainability of the farm, and paying back the loan himself, because he has to pay himself. He had to go and work and also focus on the farm. Now, my belief is that as a farmer, you must sleep with your farm, pray for it, wake up every day in your farm. You can't be doing both. Now, to what extent can Land Bank intervene? Because this farmer, you can see that he has been doing things himself. We have supported them there. But is Land Bank able to come in situations like that? If you can see that there is an available business model that this person plan that is sustainable, that can make the farm sustainable and commercial at the end of the day, that you can come and intervene and rescue farmers such as that. And if you can we maybe our staff and brothers and people be able to link the bank if they can be able to assist with that relevant person. Lastly, is there stability now in line with the issue that the chairperson is raising? Or some of the issues are in public discourse. You understand? Is there stability now in the bank? I don't want to look as if I'm hard with agriculture. Now I've lost hope with the Department of Agriculture. For two reasons. Because of administrative challenges and cultural reasons. That one, I don't compromise about it. Do you see that your location currently bring you a fresh, what is the formula, Mama? A breath of fresh air that you are located? And how is that affecting? So I'm not talking about you personally, I lost hope to the city. I don't apologize about it. That system of lost hope. They are not an example that in addressing the needs of the poor for our people and securing food security. That's a problem. Now, with being located in finance, do you think that at least the environment creates a conducive environment for you to deliver on your identified objectives? Therefore, I want you to also reflect on that, or you are misplaced. But seeing those numbers, I want to be persuaded that maybe you can be sustainable as a bank in treasure. But explain to me, as a layman of historical materialism.
Mr. Gay? Let's just take it as it flows. Okay. Professor or prophet? Oh, okay. Thought of others.
Please give your question on none of them. Just an ordinary creation of Almighty God. Chairperson, thank you very much. Chairperson, I am not known for being very, to hand and praise state entities and departments. I'm not known for that. I'm known to be very critical because I've seen too many failures. But, Chairperson, I need, one has to be forthright, honest, and I must say, and one of the best things that could have happened was for the decision by the then president in 2007-8, I think, to take the bank away from agriculture. Nothing better could have happened. And I today want to thank, in his absence, the deputy minister for his presentation. I want to thank the professionalism and acknowledge the professionalism of the CEO, an official who was steeped in the treasury, who knew how to work with rands and cents, may have had little knowledge of agriculture, but I think he's done extremely well, guided by a team of dedicated officials. What I have always found is that there was accountability. That whenever you had to confront them, they were always prepared to be accountable. They never dodged any questions. Like when you ask certain others half a dozen questions, you get one response, half-baked. Now I want to thank you for your professionalism. And in a way, I lament the fact that the CEO will be leaving us. So I've heard from the press. And talking of the press, Chairperson, I took note about your comment, forewarning, that, you know, certain things are sub judice. Chairperson, an investigation may be sub judice. But when somebody is brought on trial, it is no longer sub judice. Say with due respect. And if we fear that the press may report something, I appreciate the press, because I read more in the press than the information that's sometimes given here by departments. And thank God that we shall have a free press. I hope that they remain free, for the sake of our democracy. Chairperson, I want to go back to 2007-2008, because I was a member of the Portfolio Committee. If I look around me, the only surviving member of those days. And Chairperson, when I questioned the land bank in those days, when it was still run by officials of the Department of Agriculture, some of them who knew nothing about finances, knew nothing about agriculture, but they found themselves there, and they were running the bank. And when they presented the annual report and the results, I told them in 2007, guys, what I see before me, if it were a private sector bank, and this bank would be in liquidation, it would be on its way to bankruptcy. Before that, I was castigated by the then minister, that I'm putting the bank in a bad light. I didn't put the bank in a bad light. It is the report of the bank, the performance of the bank, that put itself in the bad light. And I want to warn against one tendency, and that is that if we try to be nice and ask sweetheart questions, we are doing nobody a favor. I admire anybody. One of my peers told me, my boy, your friend is the one who will tell you to your face what's wrong with you, and he will defend you in your actions. I don't want to be praised by anybody in my presence. They must praise me behind me. Then I know that it's a genuine friend. And that's how I'd like the bank to see me, and I think that's how I'd be with you all the years. Now, Chairperson, when I go back to those years, there was an agri BEE fund of 100 million rand. That matter is no longer sub judice, I repeat it, because there are people that are currently being charged, and their names appear in the newspapers. Now I want to know how much is that sub judice. I was stopped by the chairperson at that time from asking certain intricate questions, just to find out that it is now alleged in court that that chairperson was a recipient, not being a farmer, of 6 million rand. And the first thing he did was to go and buy 2 brand new BMWs. That's what the allegation is. We must not talk about it. No, Chairperson, I cannot agree with that. I am not here to defend the indefensible. If somebody is wrong, one needs to say it. And there would be no charge formulated against you. Yes, you are innocent until proven guilty. But nobody is going to charge you if there isn't prima facie evidence, I'm not a lawyer, that you have been engaged in wrongdoing. We must be very careful when we try to find ways and means of covering up the uncoverable. Because any immoral means will not give you moral results, remember that. I'm 73 next year. I have learned in the College of Experience. I have seen how people went up rapidly and dropped even much more rapidly because of wrongdoing. Now, Chairperson, I would like to know from the department, from the bank, whether they have succeeded in recouping anything out of the 100 million rand. I know that it's an arduous task because there were fictitious projects created, a mule project in the Eastern Cape, never existed, a project in Bella Bella, another project, a goat project somewhere, and a dairy project somewhere, and the monies were disbursed to a firm of lawyers in Polokwane, I think, Matope something, Maponya Mapote, Matope, and all that sort of stuff, and what I'm telling you is in the press. Nothing secret. And unless we are prepared to launch this boil and to remove this cancer, our body politic is going to suffer. That's my prediction. There you can call it a prophecy. Chairperson, and whether in terms of the status of the current court procedures, where is it at the moment? Is it still on trial? How many persons are on trial? You don't have to give us the names because we read them in the papers. Public knowledge. Chairperson, then I want to pay tribute to the founding fathers of this particular bank. Not for the fact that they did it all for a racial reason, and that is to promote only a particular section of the population at that time. People who look like many of us that are sitting here were excluded. We could not benefit from the land bank. But the fact that a foundation was laid, which since 1994 we are able to enjoy, and many of our people are serious, have in the last 20 years, those that did not have the opportunity in the past, have actually been successful. We've had figures here from the CEO, but CEO, what I want to ask you, and your team, you cannot take the horse to the water and make him drink. There's something gravely wrong in the manner in which we are implementing land reform and various other projects. You see, you must have it in you. By the way, let me declare my interest in the land bank. I owe you money. Not very much, under 100,000 rand, but I owe you money. Nobody must say that I've raised the bank because I want you to extend the loan. I don't want to. I'm 7 degrees next month. I'm gradually phasing out in agriculture, and unfortunately so, because my children are professional people. Nobody is there to take over. So I have to phase out.
Give me that
You can have it, as long as you pay for it. Now, that person, your problem is that people believe that, you know, if I get land, hell, you know, tomorrow I'm going to drive that 4x4 that Mr. Van der Merwe drives next door. Or Van Dalen drives. Brachta, he has a 4x4. It doesn't work like that. Farming is hard work. And you can go and ask my good old friend, the former minister, Benuel Maduna, who is today one of your top farmers in the Free State, and he's also a breeder of top genetics, Bonsmara cattle. He will tell you, and that's what he has said already, farming is a business. And you need to have an acumen in order to be able to farm. So, whilst we want to assist people in distress, what I want to know from you is, are they, the majority of them, are they assistable? Or is it merely a question of, you know, agriculture has made available so many million to the land bank, so we must step out of that. The other question is, you had mentioned that where large groups of people are involved, it seems to be not successful. that we need to learn now from your experiences and see that those mistakes are not repeated. There is no point throwing money at somebody who merely sees it as an opportunity in the short term to perhaps make something out. You need to have people who are really dedicated, who really want to farm, and who see it as a passion. We say in Afrikaans, that moet de roeping wees. Unless you have those qualities, we are going to be throwing money at them, subsidized money, which could have been better used to promote people who really want to do something. So if you could respond to that. Before I conclude, Chairperson, you see, if you are in love with the land, by Jove, you can't get it out of you. You become very passionate about it. The success, from what I notice here, then I'm also reminded that there are, for example, the wholesale financing facility. Traditionally, the old order co-ops, which have now mostly become companies, have been a sort of a conduit through which farmers were assisted, by and large the privileged farmers of them did. But the fact of the matter is that it worked reasonably well. And the risk profile naturally was such that it depended on the ability of the farmer in terms of the business that the farmer did, the production of commodities, that person's risk was determined. Now, are we aiming to go for a similar model? Then I'm reminded here that there were at least three intermediaries. I think one of them was Shenmesh. It is here in your report. Who did not expend any money during this reporting period, and whether there are any cogent reasons why that did not happen, and whether you believe that one must expand the idea of working through, whether there are new co-ops, but then that co-op must have some muscle. It mustn't be a co-op that is a convenience co-op. We have that problem too. But whether we should actively engage in promoting this type of co-op activity, which has been successful in the past. And I always tell my comrades and friends here, guys, everything the boers did, everything the boers did wasn't necessarily bad. What was bad is he only did it for himself. But there are models that we can actually copy. I'm not shy to go to somebody and say, listen, man, you experienced this, share it with me. And in that way, build our people. Thank you, Chair, for present. I hope to be able to come back if I find it necessary. Thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Yes, sir. Mr. Fandal.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I would like to know what support is the bank giving to fish farming and aquaculture? You know that our fish stocks are on the brink of collapse and are quite depleted, and the alternatives need to be found, and I think fish farming would fall into that category, so that our fish stocks could be rebuilt or give a chance to rebuild. I also read that we are exporting a lot of fish that was farmed. It's quite a big industry at the moment. So what support are you giving to the upcoming farmers that are interested in that? On the other hand, you have the fishing community that are also suffering and that needs to be empowered. And I want to ask you if you ever, you know, because it's part of our portfolio, they always seem to have been sucking on the last teat. You know, so what have you ever made an investigation of how you could include those fishing communities and fish farming in your business plan and model, as well, you have been saying here, how you have been helping people and how they have capacitated themselves and how you have loaned them money and how that has helped them. So I think it would be a good idea if you could make such an investigation, if you haven't done it yet, and then come back to this committee and report on it, on your findings and what the possibility is for us to help, because we need to find something to help these poor people off the coast, and then to capacitate them to build fish farming. There are lots of models that are not working on fish farming, but there are also good models that are working. So we can, if you could promote it. That is my contribution today. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, firstly, I have to thank the Deputy Minister in his absence for attending this meeting. Chair, I think it needs to be appreciated. And then on that note, you have mentioned the names of people that apologized. I wanted to see if our Minister, our Deputy Minister, and our new DG has been invited specifically, and whether they have apologized, those three. It is just a concern, Chair, that we never receive any apologies any longer from them, especially now that we do have a new DG, and I thought it would be good to see the new DG in this portfolio. Chairperson, I would start with questions that was not in the presentation first. Before I move to the presentation, I have to agree with my colleague that sounds like a prophet here next to me, Chair, Mr. Honourable Abram. I wanted to ask questions about the old history of the land bank, also because we read about it, we hear about it, farmers ask us about it, they know that we sit in this portfolio, and they also want to know what is happening regarding that, because people feel cheated, people suffered for a long time because the land bank went through a dip, and part of that was what happened there. So I think we need to, as part of the history of this land bank and the new projection going forward, people are still a bit worried to use the land bank in your targets that you set for yourself because of your history. And I think if we don't really clear that, there will be always this bit of a doubt if that's really the place to go to. So I think, Chair, I need to agree with that, that we need to get an answer on that. And then I've also read in news reports and to people that I spoke about the land bank that made a statement, or I don't know if it was an official one or you just mentioned it, that you are looking at ways and means to help farmers, both commercial and otherwise, to assist during drought periods and other disasters. I know the Minister, Minister Tina, has also mentioned it at a time. I need to find out what's going on, because there is definitely a problem these days. One of the my colleague, Mr. Banga, mentioned, Honourable Banga mentioned the farmer in the Free State, and the one thing that he did mention is that the reason why he's trying to repay is that there's a drought currently, or not optimal rain in the last few years in the Free State, and people in a certain sections suffer to repay their loans. So what is your take on that at the moment? And then I asked about the investigation. All right, now going, Chairperson, to maybe just a question to the Department of Agriculture that is just sitting nicely in the background to support this. I want to find out from them specifically, and then maybe also your answer on that, what is the role of MAFISA? So is there still a role for MAFISA? Because, you know, our experience is maybe a bit the same, similar as the old land bank thing, that we are not so sure that there's really control on that, and is there a link between MAFISA and what is happening to land bank, or can we just start scrapping MAFISA, or what's the role of that? Children, on presentation, I have a few questions, so I'm just going to go slide by slide and ask my questions on the slides. I think Honourable Banga has asked the questions on the non-performing loans. If the land bank can maybe just specify a bit more again, what do you do when you find a person? At what stage do you decide this guy is just never going to make it? Doesn't matter what kind of assistance you give, and then what happens at that? If you can explain to us, what do you do? At what? How long? What stage? What is the process? How many years? Or where do you decide this person is just not going to make it? What is the cutoff of that, and the implications of that then thereafter? Then also just to explain to me again the capital adequacy and the percentages and the target that you did not achieve. just explain a bit more slowly again just what exactly does that mean and how would it assist you, and do you need any assistance from Parliament on that? And then maybe just on the non-performing loans. I didn't see it, but maybe it is here, because unfortunately that the slide I worked on was not in color. You had it up in color there. But what is the other commercial banks and other lending institutions, what is their percentage of non-performing loans, and how does it balance, what is the difference between yours and this? Nothing on this slide. The other question that I want to ask you is on your interest rate. What is the reason that you could go under the average interest rate? Is it the support from government? Is it your finance model? Is it your business skills? What is helping you towards that? And just I just had a query out of interest on your percentage of market share. My query was that although you are trying to achieve 5%, the total debt of farmers also went up. So if you take that out of the equation, how did your percentage go up? Market go up in any case. So I know 35% will stay 100, but just if the market, the debt of farmers didn't go up, what would your percentage be at the moment? I don't know if I'm making myself clear yet. It's a difficult thing to ask in English, but...
Are you assuming that if the total loan had remained constant?
Yes.
Let's say,
yes.
Which year would you want us to look at?
I think I
would provide this.
Yeah, just... I would
provide a scenario of what has happened to the total debt,
yes,
for everyone and what has happened,
yes,
to the land bank.
That's what I just wanted to do.
Yeah,
that. I'm almost done sharing. Then on the, what is this, REM, what does it stand for again, I wrote it down, Retail Emerging Market. I want to ask you a question about that. Is that only for black farmers? The reason why I'm asking you that, I also speak to some other farmers that does have families and history in farming, new farmers, children that come out of school today that want to start a farming business, but they have no security or loan or something. So is that a targeted group specifically? Then can you... Maybe give us a bit more clarity on how you do it in communal land. Because that is also one of the questions that I do find a whole lot of time with people. People in communal land that want to start farming, but they don't have ownership of the land, and maybe I also need to link it at this stage to our restitution program. On our oversight visit last week, we visited one farm where the people were currently struggling to fall under the normal recapitalization program of rural development. They are thinking of helping them, but in any case, they wouldn't get enough out of the recapitalization program. So I asked the guy, why don't you go to a bank and get a loan? And he says, they can't, under restitution. I wasn't even aware that they can't, but can you assist us on that? How do you handle those farmers? Then just on farmers that received mentorship out of the 219, is the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development and Land Reform, both or one or other, involved in all those farms? And then just generally on the 280 farms, would those departments be, is that one of the prerequisites for funding in and assisting, that departments both in the 280 farms, would the department, both rural development and land reform, be involved in all those farms as assistance? The reason why I'm asking you is your comment that you made about the, what are these people, extension officers. Because that is also one of the things that we have found on farms that's struggling or collapsed, is that you will always find that the extension officers are absent. But in the other three we come to, and there are a bit more progress, and people are trying at least look at, like they are moving forward, and there is progress in some. You will always find a good extension officer. It looks hand in glove. I've never seen it different. So just what is the involvement in the department? And then on those, again, on the model that you had with 280 farms, I asked it last year and I want to ask you again. There are hundreds of our farms out there. Is this part of your plan that you need only to take to cabinet to say that we now need to look at the next 280, 400, 500 farms that needs assistance? And what's your vision towards that, just trying to... Because I cannot see rural development land reform with the RIGA program to fill that space and gap. And then the last question on your last slide on the distressed farms and the process and the challenges. It links again to my first question where I asked you at what stage do you basically decide that this one is just not going to make it? And there's a bullet point that speaks about the indebtedness of most farmers that's too high. Would one of the reasons be that we, and if I say we, I must almost say the state or government, came into this process a bit too late? We left people on their own for 10, 15, 20 years in land reform process before people basically realized that we need to help. What are the main cause or sources of this indebtedness to be too high? So that the reason why I'm also asking you, I'm part of the ad hoc committee that deals with the 1913 land issue, and we want to put a proposal to Parliament to look into proposals before the opening of the land claims process again, so that we can put certain things in place. And I've been going all along, and I think it was Professor Nixon who started with this thing of the total support package for farmers. We cannot keep on, you know, putting specific farmers into helping specific people while the total support for farmers is lacking. There is not a comprehensive total support for farmers, just anyone, new, old, anyone. So if you can assist it, and then understand it, what land claims are still not finalized, can you maybe explain to us more, because I also think on our progress on this reopening, so that we know what is the link. If land tax is, there's a problem, because land claims are not finalized, what is that specifically? I think that's all, Chair. Thank you.
Mama, you listen to
me? Yes, Chairperson, thank you. And thank you, Land Bank. It's long. We wanted to meet you and ask you some things. Thank you because you came. You know, firstly, my colleague here, she asked about Mafisa. I just want to find out Mafisa's role as we are speaking now. on page 11, the under the current exposure, these names which are appearing here, other names are coming twice with different amounts, like Afanse and like Hammersdorp. I just want to find the explanation there, because it differs even in years. Yeah. And again, there is Agri, it's like the amount is approved, but at the end, there is nothing. It's also. It's just again, maybe amongst these names, or on page 13, there are also names. I wanted to come on issue on the issue of fishing communities. I just want to add what my colleague has said. Maybe amongst these names, there are those names from the fishing communities. I don't know. I'm just thinking or to find out from you whether there are such names from the fishing communities. The last page, the last page. No, it's not the last, it's page 17. This one, the two farms, and amongst them, 58 offered to rural development, and 15 deceased, and 46, the loans are settled. 18 accounts restructured, and the 146 still needing attention. I just want to find out from 146 and the 15. These 15 funds, which maybe the beneficiaries, I don't know, are deceased. It's like now they are the state land. I plan to take them. And the same with the 146 which we are still need attention. What I want to know here is that which farms can be sold amongst the 146 or the 15? Because I heard that there are farms which can be sold. I heard it from somewhere, and interest part. I want a farm, and I want to find out. And again, in which provinces are these farms found? The 15 and the 140, because I'm being in Limpopo. That's why I have interest in this. Maybe if I can know that there are such farms in Limpopo, I really need a farm. Thank you.
I love that. You know why I love it, Mama? You know, some of us also do have such interests, but we never declare the man which you are declaring it. Let alone the fact that, you know, you're going to be declaring with the, members' interest. What's the name again? No, Moses Mohammed. Faisal, yeah. Mama is working on her exit plan. Ms. Kayla?
Thank you. I wanted to be last because I knew my colleagues would have on each other. One is to thank the management of the bank of turning the corner. The bank was in a very bad state. We have to thank for it. It was this bank, Jefferson, in 1948, when the National Party took over from the British. The economy of the country was with the British. It was this bank that helped the Afrikaners to become established farmers. The state bank. And with those people that required assistance, they were also opportunists as well. So there will always be opportunists. Make no mistake. But as long as you can
your models are right, then you won't have a problem. What I'm saying is that this bank is there to assist our people. Let us be open and be very clear. Our people are suffering out there. We live with them. Now, one would like to know, I've seen your model. In your model, I don't see anything about communal farmers. Have you got a plan to assist them? And what are your plans to assist them? Because you know that in the last year they've been farming and they've been living out of their land. And there was not that much poverty when they were farming their land. Let me assist you how they were farming. Luckily, Jefferson, I saw how they were farming. I saw in Cuba how communal farmers are farming. In Cuba, with the assistance of the government, they are doing very well. In Cuba, you'll go into the street and you see pork being sold. They're old men because they are getting assistance. Some of us, we grew in communal land, in school through communal farms, beef and soul being sold. Now, unfortunately, there's a high rate of unemployment in the mining sector. You know, I put this in a better perspective in Xhosa. Do you understand Xhosa? Nangena kuzo mhlekazi. Uyabona la maxhego nala maxhekazi. Ephangele ezifama, thumele imali kuthenga inkomo balime kudala. Nowadays you don't get that because they don't work in mines anymore. But they got that indigenous knowledge farming. Now, if your requisite is that you're helping them through agriculture, you need to think about your model because agriculture does not exist, as Mr. Banga says. That is quite true. Agriculture does not exist. Now, if your model again says you're helping people through agriculture, there is the Umga flat farms in Yugi area. I've written various letters to the department. Those people, it is the best land. One of the biggest farmers, Mr. Roberts, he was farming potatoes. There are a lot of black farmers who've been asking for assistance for years. The terrorist knows about that. The letter has gone to all the departments, but those people are not being helped. That is the best land, but they got it in this knowledge. So that's why I want to ask, what is your model in assisting these people? You are requested to assist them. Because if you then do it through agriculture, extension officers, I agree with you, they don't exist. That is quite true. They do not exist. In my area, I've never seen one. I'm helping those people, but I've never seen the thing that's called an extension officer, a proper extension officer. So what I would like to know is then, what model and what requisites do you have to assist the people? I know that you cannot assist everybody. You don't have enough funds. But is there a little bit that you have for the communal farmers? What would you like to assist them? Would you like them to form co-ops or whichever, you know? So that's what I want to know. Because, as I say, this bank made the Afrikaner the best farmer today. Now, the time has come. Our people must also be the best farmers. Whether they live in this Lali or wherever, but they must be assisted wherever it is possible. We're taking the respect into factor. Thank you.
I'll take four quick ones. The first one, Mr. Hadere, is a question that relates to any roadmap that is in existence towards getting the bank back to and closely associated with rural development and agriculture department. If there is any roadmap, I think that would be interesting to hear. A point is made also in the annual report that talks about agriculture expected to create 1 million jobs within this vision 2030 within your NDP, and also some of those charges related to job losses or job drivers. Driver, whether going forward or going backward, whether the land bank has been able to crystallize its own role in that drive as part of agricultural family. I'm interested on the interest rates. Granted, you have that cushioning that is done by the agriculture department of about 4%. Is that taken to be a soft loan or a repayable? Granted, it lessens the load or the burden on the part of any farmer. But going forward, what's the model? Now, the last point, I'm interested. Once we touch, land bank, you're touching your only, financial development financial institution that is on agriculture in the country. You obviously have a number of other instruments that are there, also state-owned, your officers and so on and so forth. There is also AgriDefined. There is, of course, on the private sector side, a number of these institutions, they are there. They play a role in that space. Can you switch off the phones? And to an extent, my interest there would be that as a committee, precisely because of its role and the importance of finance in agriculture, if we are to deal with this matter of financing in piecemeal, in the manner in which we are dealing with it as of now, we are bound not to make much progress. Otherwise, it literally has to be, one of those statistics in our, on our program. We did have a land bank that day. It came. As to what really transpired out of that, in concrete terms, the concrete terms for me always must talk about, bettering the life of an ordinary person. In this instance, I'm referring to that, small field farmer who is black, without any apology. The interest for me would be a scenario, Mrs. Steen, wherein we are able to call on all of those institutions, financial institutions, under one roof. Mafisas, you name all of them, AgriDefined. Because the challenge that we have is that these institutions, they literally, Mr. Tachoya, work in their own little, silos. As to whether, at times in land bank is involved, at times land bank is not involved, that just the other day I was listening to somebody saying, AgriDefined is told by National Treasury that it must close shop. But the National Treasury, the Agriculture Department is saying, it must still go on. There you have 80% grant, if I'm correct, within AgriDefined. 20% of which then becomes a soft loan. I don't know how many years you get to be. Now, this is what we don't know, that we don't get. All right? Now, to an extent, whether or not you must go to Land Bank or you must go to AgriDefined, just the other day we were told that they only had one project that they had supported. And the requirements thereof, for you to have access to that AgriDefined, they are quite onerous. Now, I'm very keen that as part of our program, Mrs. Kakaza, that we have such an item. It's very important and very critical. Ideally for me, you know, rather than having to have one, you know, of those land banks, we would have had all of them under one roof and deal with one issue, and then we conclude on it. And we also have an object as to why, as a result, what is it that we want out of that? Because here, as we speak, you know, we might just have to be lashing and, you know, praising and criticizing land bank, but what is it that we want to achieve at the end of the day? Yes, we should have had the session with the land bank, and the land bank, you know, it's good for land bank, you know, I would imagine. You've been here. Yes, it's part of your requirements, you subscribing to National Treasury in terms of your APs and your report, and as far as your PMFA requirements, you're out. But also having, you know, stretched out to here, you find still, you're more than fine. Because these are people that are directly linked to what you guys are doing, you know, on a daily basis with regards to what you receive from National Treasury. And the last point I wanted to raise, I raise this all the time, and then I hear the Deputy Minister, you know, his first statement that he makes is that Land Bank is government-owned. I want you, if you can, to unpack for people of this meeting as to what that means, what that implies, with your institutional investors on board, and generally your shareholders on board. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think I will request my colleague to answer some of the questions. Do you want us to start now, or do you want to break them if you can't?
Members, now that we had that indirect response request, rather, and also that we don't usually take such breaks because of the lot of work that we have, and that also at least we have a bit of time. Perhaps we do have the luxury that of taking a break. Time now is 11:05 according to this watch. If we can come back, say 11:20. Thank you.
Take a break. Say good to chat.
I think the kind of questions we are getting do illustrate the commitment of this committee in trying to improve the living standards of our own people and the pressure that they are exerting on us to do better than what we are doing. And we appreciate that. Now, Chair, before I answer, Chair, I think there is a question that comes from almost all the members that I think you have very well concluded or summarized in that for this meeting, as we are sitting here today, what exactly should be the greatest impact as the land bank can contribute to agriculture? What is it that we look into this meeting and think that it added a lot of impetus on agriculture in South Africa? We will try to answer the questions. The truth of the matter, Chair, is something I have privilege of discussing with you at some stage. It's that the land bank, in a bigger scheme of things, in a comprehensive rural development strategy, is just but a small player. The role of the land bank is financing. But that financing should be seen in the broader scale of a comprehensive rural development strategy, which includes, amongst the issues, the effectiveness of your funds which were put aside for drought and flood reliefs, we market some elements of what we used to call marketing law. They should not have been abolished. All of them. Countries still have those elements. Subsidies. I think we are spending about 2% of the GDP on agriculture. The countries spend anything between 20 to 25. If you go to China, they have a policy one. In India, it's something very close to that. You go to Brazil. That is where it should be. Land bank, yes, it has helped the agriculture sector in South Africa. And without the land bank, the agricultural sector, especially the commercial, would not have reached this level. But there were supporting instruments that allowed the bank to perform that. Amongst those was the government assistance, which none of them exist now, except the recapitalization office and the partnership with the Department of Agriculture. The second thing is the liquid asset classification of the land bank, where the banks had to borrow, had to lend or borrow from the land bank on the liquid asset because the instrument that the land bank provided to the market was liquid. So for their own liquid asset, they should needed to do that. They no longer do that. We still have that facility. The partnership with the Reserve Bank, because there was a partnership that from time to time the bank was to borrow from the Reserve Bank. We still borrow, but it's different now. The total funding from the government, the Agricultural Credit Board. We should be sitting here, we shouldn't be sitting here with this committee talking about the drought and floods and what role the land bank should play. We should be questioning ourselves whether do we have sufficient funds to deal with those issues. And then this is a job that this committee should undertake. If this committee chair also has the greatest impact, then we have to change the whole structure of the whole agricultural sector. That is when the impact of the land bank will be felt. But the land bank will find it very, very difficult to go borrow money to finance that. Because no investor will give you money to do that. The land bank will also find it very difficult to deal with drought, although we do try and help through the IDC. Now, having presented this picture and some of the issues that permeate or that are existing in the global picture in institutions like a land bank, let's look at the structure of the institutions that have proven to be successful, the other agricultural and development banks in the world. And we can make an example of the three countries that seem to be ahead in the developing world. Put aside the U.S. We will look at China, just the Development Bank of China, Agricultural Development Bank of China. We look at Bandis, that is the Brazilian DFI. And we look at India. But before I go there, now, if the USA is able to put in $1 trillion over 10 years to assist their farmers over 10 years, and China is able to put, I think, $560 billion over 5 years, how do we think our farmers, both developing and emerging, can compete with that market? How do you think that a farmer who's in the poultry market is facing a challenge from Brazil, and Brazil is heavily subsidized, can compete with that international market? I'm talking commercial farmers. Then you put in the developing farmers. They come in and they have to stand on their own. In an environment where the cost of our business in agriculture continues to rise, more than the income that, I mean, actually the income in the farming sector has been declining up until this year in the first 3 years time. So what commercial farmers are doing is what we read about in each and every day, almost weekly, the consolidation, where you find that the big operatives themselves are consolidating because they want to enjoy the scale, so the benefits of scale. If you are bigger, you don't have to buy all equipment, you have to share equipment and everything. That is what is happening. That is why you read in the newspaper all this thing about consolidation of the co-op. Because through that, those scales, the economies of scale are able to compete with us. But over and above them, the big family and individual farms that during the past, let's say, 10, 12 years, have been operating on their own. What they're doing now to face the challenges of the cost is to go back to co-ops. So you see that the loans of the co-ops are growing because they are taking these clients who were clients of the land bank on an individual basis as co-ops because they would benefit from that. They will survive because we have the balance sheet. But if you think that the developing farmers and emerging farmers that are small-scale farmers would be able to compete and survive in this market, it's impossible. Before we start talking about the skills, what the land bank provides as a loan and all those things, that is secondary. They are not going to survive. If we, as government and government entities and the government tools, are committed in improving the agricultural sector in South Africa, if we need more people to come in, then there must be a better way of dealing with it. Chair, I agree, there need to be a comprehensive strategy. But the land bank itself, in as much as it's improving its performance, that is a drop in the ocean if you consider the whole challenges that we are facing as agriculture. And that is a fact. Now, let's look at the funding of the three agricultural ranks. You start with Brazil. Brazil, about 70% of their funding mix, it comes from government bonds. Government offers the Bundes the bonds and they sell it at a discount rate, of course. That allows them to provide the farmers all the assistance they need. And they rely on their capital adequacy better because they don't go to the market. So they have a bigger muscle to assist the farmers. That's what the land bank had initially, and that's how it was helping the farmers. When you're looking at India Agricultural Bank, about 65-70% of their funding mix, it comes from the funds that have been created by the government to assist the agricultural institution, to help the farmers, not the market. So the market is 30% or so. And if you are looking, that's India. If you are looking at China, the Reserve Bank, 85% of borrowing of China comes from the Reserve Bank, which will be what we call a repo market. That is discounted. So they will be able to go to the market. They have the muscle to take the losses. Then you come to the land bank. Government has been very instrumental and very helpful in resuscitating the bank, and we're very thankful. That was the guarantee of 3.5 billion, which have helped us, and we have converted of that about 3 billion is cash now, and we're operating. But the truth of the matter is, if you are looking at the gearing, that is, if you compare the assets of the land bank against the liabilities, we're not strong enough. And we rely on the market. So the market will come and say, why are you borrowing the money and why are we doing that? That is why we need to reinforce the emerging market. Now, if we are to review and have a great election agriculture here in South Africa, this is a committee that will assist us a great deal. A couple of things that will need to be done. We look at the capital structure of the land bank, but over and above that, some of the assertions and the commitments that were made by the Land Bank Act of 2006 when it was reviewed, with 12 objectives sorry, that it has. Out of these 12, there's one that is commercial, there's one on food security, the other 10 is all about development. We started at the level to understand why, if the emphasis was so much on development, why didn't then government provide the tools, the instruments that would assist the land bank in meeting the development? And it became clear and apparent that there were certain ideas that were underwriting the review of the policy that were not implemented. For example, about 5 billion that was an agriculture credit board was supposed to be transferred to the land bank. That did not happen. And if you are looking further again on the act, it does mumble something about government assisting, the Strauss report, which the act comes from. The Strauss report says that with the developing farmers, government has to help the land bank. And that was supposed then to be transferred to the act itself, but that did not materialize. So we have institutions that have to borrow from the market and fund the people where the market itself does not have an appetite. And the market is very simple. You go there and they say, who are you going to fund? You put your portfolio, these are the people, and they say, no, there is too much on this. We are not going to give you money. So we can do the best we can under trying times. But the major thing which I think this committee will have to begin to look into, which I think the chair was talking about, is the review of the Land Bank Act itself. Does it meet the targets of the land bank? From what we have experienced, there are gaps. There are things that have to be done. The second thing then is the capital structure. That is the funding mix of the land bank. If the land bank has to take this risk, is it having the funding mix, otherwise the money that we have in borrowing to assist the farmers? The truth of the matter is no, it doesn't. Let me make an example of the IDC, there, which announced its financials. The IDC survived mainly because it's got a huge equity on the balance sheet, so it can take the losses. You know, it has five big companies that are there that can keep it floating around during the trying times. If you take the land bank balance sheet, you'll find that the equity is rather small because over the years it deteriorated. As much as it has improved, we're sitting at about 6 billion. But against a loan of 30 billion now, 26, it gets very smaller. So every small movement on the land bank, the non-performing loans, will have immediate impact on the bank. So those are the things that we have to look into. We have to look at the transport system. We have to look at the economic development and economic activity in rural areas of South Africa, not just agriculture. So this is a whole comprehensive rural development strategy that you are talking about. And most of the questions that are here are relevant and important. But the land bank should be seen as but one small element in the bigger scheme of things. Unless we are able to consolidate all the tools and instruments the government has, which is something that you said, we are not going to be able to achieve our objective. Giving land to people is just but one element. But leaving people on the land and hoping that they'll be able to produce the food is the biggest mistake we have made. The land bank, if you are looking at what has happened up until now, what we presented, in the past, up until 08, the land bank wrote off about 4.55 billion rand on emerging farmers because what the land bank was doing up until 08 was just to provide loans and sit guy and hope that this guy will immediately wake up and be the best farmer. That had not worked. So we are trying to put something, which is something I think the members wanted to know, what exactly do we want to do? We are putting a pilot project with 230 farmers that is looking historically what were the problems, and we are struggling, we haven't achieved what we wanted to do. But we are putting in a tool, the wholesale financing. Yeah. That says, how can we deal with this market going forward? And we say, this has worked. The farmers are not on their own. It's not just providing financing. It's providing upgrading. It's providing offtake. These are things, Mr. Abraham, which you have indicated, that was done by cooperatives. But the co-ops now have become businesses. And those that we have tried to build have not been that successful. So, what do we do? In trying to ensure that farmers that are available are able to produce, in ensuring that we have new stream of farmers coming in, we are going back to these co-ops and we are saying, we can work with you. We can provide the funding cheap with the Department of Agriculture. Let's work together and put this as a pilot project upon which then we'll go to cabinet and here in parliament and say, this thing works. And if it works, we'll need more money, because it can be borrowed money. I think to us, as we're standing here in front of you, that's the main theme of why you're here today, and we hope we'll understand before we answer the questions. Now, having laid the foundation, Chair, there was quite a long list of questions that we'll share with the members, okay? I think the first one was from Mr. Banner. Yeah, we've touched financing agriculture for 100 years. That has been done. But, you know, when the land bank was established, and there's a land bank act, and there's a restitution act, and there is the farmer support act, that happened up until 1922. You see that the land bank was part of a bigger plan of things that needed to be done. Unfortunately, some of us will not benefit from that. But some of these acts that were supporting the land bank are no longer existing. That is why we need to go back and understand the land bank, but in a bigger scheme of rural development and agricultural strategy, not land bank in isolation of the agricultural sector. So the commission, it made the commercial farmers, but because it was able to give the loans to the farmers over 40, 50 years at the interest of 2%, and if you're struggling and you couldn't pay the World Agriculture Credit Bond, it will take you, resuscitate you, put you back to agriculture, and if you have failed over 5-6 years or so, then you have failed. Then Agriculture Credit Bond will take the farm, get other people. You can't do that with the borrowed money, because immediately when you have a non-performing loan, the people take out their money. So we have to go back and look, as Ms. Abraham said, some of the things that we've done there, we should have discarded them. We should have picked up what works or doesn't work. In some of the countries that we have, they're still doing exactly the same thing. That is why they've been successful. Now, is the land bank's intention to convert developing farmers to commercial, which Mr. Bonner asked? Do we have the tools to ensure the sustainability and development of farms? I think I've touched on that. This is the minimum what we are putting in. We are going back and say, this works, but we need more funding, and we need cooperation from the Department of Rural Development and Agriculture and the land bank. But because the extension officers will not be able to assist us that much, they have their own challenges, then we'll make use of the agricultural formations and the commercial farmers that we have to head to assist us in that in the technical help. The loan book, we need stability. Now, you're asking us whether we have stabilized. We think we have. We have stabilized. We have not just grown the book by more than 100%. The two key levers that determine the success of the instrument will be the quality of the book. That's the first thing. The second thing is the willingness of the clients to come to the bank. If you are looking at the non-performing loans that come down, as you have seen, from 22% to a low of 4.9%. If you are looking at impairments from about 18% to about 3.1%. If you compare the land bank with commercial banks, with impairments, we're sitting at 3.1% and the commercial banks are sitting at 3.5%. Are we more conservative than the banks? No, we are not. If you then take the gearing, assets over liabilities, you find that the banks are sitting at 150. But because we don't have a lot of equity assets on our balance sheet, our gearing is sitting about 350. So for every small mistake that is made or losses that you make, it does have a direct impact on the bank, so we have to be careful. Hence the ring fencing of the development side. Farmer interest rate will be very difficult to know exactly what is happening, but it has been striking with the F&B. It becomes a challenge for a land bank to take that loan because of the credit. Yeah, it doesn't allow us to do so. But an institution like a land bank, if it has a different capital structure, it will be able to have a unit. We don't have it now. That can cater for farmers like that, that have great potential, but that are facing challenges. The one that we've created to RAM, MK, it seeks to do that. Some of the farmers that we pick them up have proved very successful. And these are places where there was no farming during the past 5 years. And we'll be honored if this committee can arrange with us that we take them to see what impact that has had of the farmers that were left idle and now they've been resuscitated through the partnership of the Department of Land Bank and the commercial farmers. Is there stability now? There is stability. But there's still an issue of capital adequacy that we are talking to the National Treasury. We have grown too fast and a lot. And the balance now needs to be reviewed whether it can stomach additional growth. That if we are a listed company, we could go on and say, okay, this is a success story, that's where we want to go. If you want to get your return, recapitalize and you put in the money, then you get the benefits. But we are different, and actually the profits are at a minimum. But we have to find a way how we deal with it going forward. It's a couple of issues. The capital adequacy at 20%, it was a decision taken by the National Treasury because of the risk we had previously. The National Treasury might consider that you guys are more sophisticated now, you have done well, we're reducing capital adequacy to 15%, depending whether the market and the rating agents are here for that. Or they can say, we review and try to assist you as you go forward. Why has the capital adequacy come down? It's just that we're going more and borrowing more on land. But secondly, the equity is rather small. But then the profits that have been made by the bank are then transferred to rent development, and they do not increase the equity by a bigger percentage. about being located, which is a question that has been asked. I think that's your view. That's for politicians. But what I can provide here is what is happening globally. Globally, all these development bank institutions reside with the Department of Finance everywhere. And secondly, the land bank was with the Department of Finance before it was National Treasury up until 1996. All these years, the land bank has worked very closely with the Department of Finance. It was only in 1996 that the land bank was transferred to the Department of Agriculture for the right reasons. I can tell my own personal point of view that working with National Treasury, I think, has benefits, because this is the financial institution at the end of the day, but I've been at the National Treasury my whole life, so I might not provide an objective answer here. Yeah. But I think having experience that there have been benefits, but it's up to this committee to decide. I know that the President, through the proclamation, transferred to the National Treasury, but this committee can decide what is appropriate, and I don't know. Yes, that was from Mr. Banger. Mr. Abraham, thanks again for the issues that you have raised. You are asking us about the investigations. We can provide a snapshot of what happened. You wanted to know about AgriBee. Have we, out of that 100 million that was dispersed, how much have we returned? The assets are with the asset forfeitors. Currently what we have about 3-4 funds. We have about 3 properties from state estates. We got about 3-4 cars. Roughly the amount that we can, 3-4 cars. Yeah. Out of that, we think we'll be able to scrap through about 12, 18, 14 million or something there. But there are other cases that are ongoing. We might go, but I don't see us reaching 20 million. Now, regarding the people that were involved, there have been a number of arrests. I'm not going to comment about the one you have commented on. There are people from the land bank that were arrested. There are people from the Department of Agriculture that were arrested. There are people who acted as farmers that were arrested.
Acted as farmers, yes.
There are relatives of the people that were working in the Department of Agriculture and the land bank that we arrested. All in all, you're looking at about 9-12 people so, that have been arrested. The case continues. Oh, there are lawyers also that we arrested. Yes. Mm-hmm. Taking the horse to drink and eat, not wanting to drink, you are right. At least some of the challenges we're facing is exactly because of that. It's to assume that people can farm. And it's to assume that people can just wake up one day and be farmers. And I think, okay, you can talk later with Harry about the whole infrastructure of what we are putting in and how do you try to deal with this issue. Yeah. We've spoken about how government can help. Distressed farmers, are they assistable? Brahiri, I think you can comment on that. How do you define who's assistable and who's not?
Through you, Chair. The process of determining whether or not the distressed farms are possible to assist is a very lengthy process. In fact, I thought I felt that maybe the big question you would have was going to be, it looks like there's very little progress because we're showing a few farms resuscitated. Unfortunately, because of the past, we're battling to get the farmers to sit down with us and plan with them how to resuscitate them. Because I'm sure it was mentioned earlier, some of them are very big groups which were put together to buy them a farm where they were not relatives or friends. They didn't even know each other. Within a short period of time, they already were fighting and they left the farms. Some started pulling things out and selling them. Some farms, one member was asking, where are these farms? Can I buy one of them? It's not going to be easy to buy any of them because the condition of these farms are such that they need a complete redo. And unfortunately, that's the situation. It takes very long. And we, how do we assist them? We look at what is still available on the farm to do. Are they still committed to farm? Is the group still together? Are they mandated to speak and plan about the future of the farm with us? And is there a rescue situation? And we then look for a partner who can partner with them to assist them. As we have said, we try not to put people on the farm on their own anymore, as was happening in the past. There must be a plan, there must be a guide, there must be a mentor, there must be technical support, there must be a market, there must be an off-taker before we proceed. But it takes very long.
Thanks. And then the second, another question, Mr. Abram, that you asked was the WFF and how it works with the co-ops. And the co-ops have proven to work very well in the past. Are we aiming to go for a similar model?
Okay. Thank you, Chair. It is exactly the same model we are looking for. We are even bringing greater players because it is clear from where we sit that we cannot succeed on our own without these partnerships in agriculture. The co-ops have established themselves with a history in the commodities, a history in the market, and a history in the sales. We are trying to pull that knowledge to put it to those farmers who we put together with the co-ops, the previously existing co-ops, and even going further, look at other players in the market, input suppliers, sometimes like Omnia, Pana, people who would be able to give advice technically to support our farmers. So yes, we are using, and that is the crux of the model, to have support on the farm, to have experience and knowledgeable people who are able to provide the advice and support to provide to monitor those on the thing and hope that the farmers will graduate to commercial farmers. Thank you.
Thank you. Then Mr. Van Halen, you ask a fish farming and the percentage of land and loans to farms. Our exposure to the fish industry is rather limited. What we have is through the co-ops, because some of them have a space in. But it's very, very limited. It could be less than 1%. We haven't provided any service whatsoever. They haven't come to us, in fact, requesting us. You ask us, how can we include the fish farmers? And you say, have we done an investigation? We know the percentage. I think it's something we'll take back. We normally try to respond. We'll give you the exact number of the exposure. And we don't have a detailed strategy on this. It's something that we have to work on. But what we do is just to give you the numbers, the exact numbers of our exposure on this. So we then have, on our strategy, have to go back and try to see what role we can play and what can we do. We're weak on it. Thank you. And Ms. Day, investigations were spoken about that. And you're saying that the people are worried about using the bank. You're right, you know. It takes time, you know. As much as right now, we're sitting comfortable and everyone coming in. But to rehabilitate yourself and gain respect, it does take a bit longer. But what we're seeing is a gradual increase. The mere fact that the bank has increased its book by more than 100% over the space of 5 years indicates that there's willingness to come back to the land bank. And there are reasons for that, except that we're cheaper. There's a human touch. We understand the market much better. And there was a large constituency of farmers that gave the land bank another opportunity to survive. And we have worked with those. And we continue to see the farmers that have left the bank coming back. And we continue to do so. The more we do better, the more we get those. Yes. The drought period helping farmers. Yes. We felt that we needed some help, but to help the farmers, that especially the Northwest, I think now it's received. But we couldn't get the money because you can't borrow money to assist them. We then discussed this with the IDC, and the IDC initially gave us 500 million. Yeah, it gave us 500 million. But IDC needs 1% and the operational and everything, we have 1%, so the cost is 2%. But the farmers wanted something We had to convince them that, unfortunately, this money is borrowed by IDC themselves. Then they give it to us and there are cost implications. But they've still been coming in. I think I've seen the disbursement increasing. This should have been the other way around, you know, because we should have had funds. What used to have, the land bank used to have funds for this thing, for drought and for floods and related issues. Yes, disasters. What we will wait for in situations like this is just the government declaring a disaster area, then we'll assist those farmers. We no longer have the services. Again, this is something the chair was talking about. If we are to have an impact in agriculture, we need to look bigger than what the land bank would do. Mafisa, MK as well. Okay, we still have Mafisa. It still resides with the land bank. We are managing it on behalf of the Department of Agriculture. And in fact, most of the funds that have been used on RAM have been through the RAM, through the Mafisa fund, where the department has requested that we make use of that. But there are other adventures that the Department of Agriculture is endeavoring in through the Mafisa fund. We now have controls, and we haven't had a problem. But again, Mafisa is how much better? It's about 150 million, eh? 150 million. In the bigger scheme of things, it's a small thing, but it should have had an impact. But then you ask us a presentation. The process of liquidation, could you give us
this? Thank you, Chair. Maybe just to explain to the member the process. Before a loan becomes a non-performing loan, it first falls into arrears. And the process is that we as a bank want to understand what are the reasons of the arrears. If it's something that is beyond the farmer's control, like draft, for example, we try and put in some interventions, or we try and restructure, because normally what we would then do is like restructure the repayment, you know, like a period of the farmer, and then we, in a nutshell, we try and intervene and make sure that the land bank can assist the client. But where it's in arrears because of management issues or issues that are of the control of the client, then we regard it as non-performing loans, and then we follow the legal processes in terms of recovering the land bank's money.
Then you asked about the capital adequacy ratio. Why was the target not achieved? When we set the for this year, last year, year under review, the target of capital adequacy, we are assuming that to grow the book by 15%. That's an increase of 3.3 billion rand. But the book grew by 5.4 billion. Oh, so which means we borrowed more to service that. That's the reason why the capital adequacy is less. It's a good story. Then you ask us on interest rate, how can we go below the market? The bank has always done so. I think government created the land bank with a particular golden aim. And if one of our responsibilities or objectives is food security, then we should not measure our success by the profits that have been made, but rather by the number of farmers, especially those that are out there that are coming in. And that's what we have done so. We are less in the market, but as we've shown in that curve, that borrowing, that lending which is less in the market has an impact on the farmers and us. The market share. Okay, what has happened to the total agricultural debt vis-a-vis the land bank debt? The total government debt up until 2009-10 was annually increasing at about 10% or so. Every year it grew 10%. Then we had our own target based on that. That is 10%. Then what is it that will come? How can we grow the bank, the land bank paper? Initially, we targeted to grow the book, to be within the market rate, exactly what you're asking. We said, then it means each and every year, we should grow the book by more than 10%. In other words, if it grows by 10% and we grow by 11 or 12%, we are growing faster than the market. But from 09-10 to this year, the farm loan has increased by 12-13%. So it's growing faster because then you can see the big companies consolidation. So what we have decided to do is instead that of growing the book by 12% as the total book, we will grow it by 15% at minimum, which will allow us to take a big market share. But we are surprised also, during the past 3 years, if I may, just talking about the performing book, in 10-11, the land bank grew this book, performing book, by 26%. 11-12, we grew the performing book by 54%. And in 12-13, we grew its performing book by 26%. So all that combined would indicate here the trajectory versus the travel. REM, is it targeting a particular group of people? Yes, it is. It's targeting emerging farmers, black emerging farmers. It came from cabinet that said, before you repossess, see what you can structure. So it's a kind of a market you're targeting. The communal land, and how are we dealing with the communal land?
Jeff, you, communal land, we look mainly at what the productive capacity is. Previously, you could not use communal land because it required title for security. We do not secure in the traditional form in REM, so we won't ask you to bring your house or the land you farm on. So whether you lease the land, whether it's PDO, as long as you have a right of use, we will finance you because there are alternative means through which we will secure the support, the product, and sessions and marketing. So we were not into using land as security itself, which was a key challenge, and that has been removed through the REM portfolio. So whether it is communal land, PTO, leased land, or even owned land, if it's owned, it's fine. It's yours. Yeah.
Thank you. Could you talk rather about how the credit policy has evolved to deal with some of the issues?
Thank you, Chair. And like my colleague has already alluded, I think we do take security, but not the traditional security. Because what happens is that if there is no security, it has an impact on the impairment. On, you know, we have to provide for it. So what we do is, like, for the REM clients, we look at the transition as a project, whereby we're saying that we have to follow the money. And we have to make sure that there is an offtake agreement, right? And then we make sure that money does not go to the farmer without the land bank facility not being repaid. So we do make that alignment that, we follow the money and make sure that we also help the client, for the farmer to be sustainable. Because the plan is that they are not in REM customers or REM farmers forever. They have to graduate after a period. So we hold their hands and making sure that even these subsidized interest rates are for a period. And later on, they will have to be treated as commercial clients. So we've adjusted our policies to make sure that we do not price for risk, but we put in mitigants in place to ensure that those risks are well managed.
Thank you. Harry, another question was mentorship. Well, DAF and DLDR, they provide this mentorship on this 233 funds. Have they been able to do that? And the role of the Exchange Officer Africa.
Through you, Chair, as has been alluded to by a few speakers previously, the Extension Officers have not been available for this purpose. Rural development has been the closest I have had to deal with because I'm dealing here mostly with farms, land, and I almost work there because they buy land where land is available. They have a program to acquire land and lease it out to those who want to start farming without having to carry the old burden of distressed farmers of a big loan, especially because we all know the prices today of farms is not necessarily what they should be. They are a little above. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was afraid to say overpriced. Therefore, I must say we have a very close relationship with rural development. It can even be better. It has been said in the initial discussions and presentations that working together as a whole in support of agricultural rural development would be very useful, where rural development, agriculture, and ourselves were always together. Because sometimes what I am trying to do, I find they are also doing. And the two of them doing the same thing without me knowing that they are helping that farmer. The one gives a tractor, the other one gives another tractor, and I go to look for somebody to assist with a tractor. When we get to the farm with a tractor from the co-op to assist, we find the farmer has got two new tractors. Such this integrated assistance is sometimes wasting time, because then, especially because when you go to the next farmer who needs a tractor, who doesn't get, who has been waiting for a long time. He points at the one who gets two tractors when he even needs one, and he's only asked today, and he's been waiting for a long time. So sometimes I get myself involved in the sort of mediating to get something going. But we do work together in some cases, but I think we can do much better.
So then there was a question on the few, 230 farms that you had. It's a pilot. We will hope through the intervention of this committee that we'll be able to convince cabinet for a better assistance. That distract, when do you decide? I think Sustain DW has already touched on that. Why do they have high indebtedness, Henry?
Through you, Chair. Yeah, the high indebtedness has been explained in the presentation. Our interest rates, remember on the graph, it showed between 2002, the bank upped the interest rate, land bank, because it was going into losses. And that made it impossible, over and above the fact that some of the farmers, emerging farmers we financed, as I alluded to earlier, were big groups that became dysfunctional as soon as they got onto the farm. Now, when you even add a higher interest rate, it meant the debt was growing with interest being capitalized on the loan and without them even making a single payment and being not allowed to foreclose or repossess the farm. We had to wait for government to instruct us what next to do with the moratorium that was placed on the actioning of the court action. The debt grew. Nobody was paying. And that's why today when we want to resuscitate them, one has to, as we've been saying, we may need to be funded for reducing that debt burden, because that is money we went to borrow, we laid out, we should have any interest, we haven't. If you ask us to write off that interest, it means somebody will need to fund that. And that is where the problem is. Are they assistable? Sometimes it's because of that issue that it becomes difficult to assist them. We are actually relying a lot on the recapitalization model from rural development when we have to assist some of them because of the high indebtedness. We can't put more money, even though they need more money, so rural development assists. And I don't think they will have sufficient budget for the number of cases requiring assistance.
Then the issue of the land claims challenges, how is it challenging as far as?
Yeah, this one is actually a matter I even fortunately was having a meeting in the Department of Rural Development on Monday regarding a land claim case which they were settling. We had to go and negotiate to see if we were able to cut a little bit with our legal department on what they're offering. But it was always a problem to find out. In some provinces, it's difficult to find out who is actually the land claim commissioner because they seem to change all the time. So cases where we told there's a land claim, the emerging farmers decide, in this case, for instance, they don't want to continue. They are not related. They are not working well together. They want to sell the farm. The problem becomes the next buyer is not prepared to buy when there is a pending land claim. Now, it becomes our duty now to run around to find out where the process is, because we are the afflicted party. We have to report here what we have done about this, from which, in many cases, the commercial farmers also phone us to say, hey, land bank, you have a farm here? The people are running a shebeen on the farm. They make noise. They disturb our animals at night, and so on. And if we cannot resolve that, because there is a land claim pending, it becomes a continuous problem for us. So I have now found out who we can speak to for the national following up of land claims. There are two cases where The farmer has decided he doesn't want to farm. He's prepared to sell the farm to Rural Development and Acquisition. And I asked him to put it in writing. Together with his family, they held a meeting and they wrote to say, we are offering to sell the farm. The answer I got was, we can't buy this farm because there is a land claim pending. Now, I thought it was in the right department. I only learned that although it's in the right department, there are different divisions, so I must go to the division that handles land claim. And that is some of the reasons progress is slow on resuscitating or so resolving these distressed farms. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. One of the challenges we had was from especially two provinces where the MECs went and told the farmer not to pay the land back. Not to pay the land back. It was Northwest and it was Free State. Then we had to go try and talk to them. They said government will... That's an issue that Harry was talking about when you come to this farmer's council. Because we then have to come and say it doesn't work like that. I personally had a privilege of talking to the two MECs who are no longer there. Mm-hmm. But they said we're part of government. And people said we are not going to pay. Up until such time that you really have to liquidate and then they see that government will not help. So we still have those issues that do have an effect. And I was told in the meeting, we're in Free State, we tried to reason with the farmers. We were very angry that we wanted to take the farmers. But the MEC stood up and said he's going to sue the land bank if we take the farmers over. So sometimes what we do as different organs of government get mixed up along the way. And that's what Harry is talking about. Then, Ms. Pallister, you asked us on Mafisa, the role we have touched on that. Why is that one?
So that's not for you, Jolene, eh? Jolene, that's not for you.
Mafisa, we have touched on that. Why are Gwanza and Humansdorf come to us is different from the same company. The fishing community, where we concerned, we said is something we have to go back and look into and come up with a better plan. The RAM names on page 13, I think you wanted to know why they're repeated. We have tried it. On 17, I think the 15 deceased and 146 that we still have, what happened?
The deceased cases, it's cases where the farm owner has passed away or passed on, and the family is still on the farm, either no longer interested in farming or never ever having been interested in farming. Maybe the father wanted to farm and he brought the family here, now he's passed away. The children, not many of our young people want to farm. Then the mother maybe too old, and then we look to the executor of the estate to negotiate with, so we take the farm. We've recently negotiated, one of them has been settled. Unfortunately, those take long. Winding up of estates take long. And the sad part is while we wait for the winding up, the farms deteriorate. Because if it's not being looked after, the value goes down. People don't have food, they don't produce, they start selling part of the farm. And that is the moratorium results, waiting to get any instruction as to when to close the matter. That sometimes is very costly. And it costs us also a lot of money to repeatedly visit the same farm to try and negotiate and find out if anything can be done or is going to be done. And so on. Thanks, sir.
Just going back to the answer, what's going to happen now? We have a relationship with DRDLR, with the sons. We're going to give it to them, then they will decide which ones of us they want to take them on their portfolio before we go on and open the tender. Yes. it's very nice to hear that you have an interest in farming. We can only wish you luck.
That's not what Mama is looking for.
I'm looking here for a quarter of my... No. There have been a lot of people that have been successful in farming. Ms. Abraham put it nicely, if you are willing to work and put demand in it, it's not impossible. And Chair, it's not that the emerging or the new farmers that are coming in are failing because they don't have the tactical and the know-how. It's the willingness to work, like any other project. You have to...
But Mama wants to farm.
Yeah, I'll explain what the process that goes around. And Mr. Keller, I'll ask us about the models. We have explained, and we are confident that they will work. That is why we're presenting them here. The communal farmers, I think, that has been answered how we're dealing with it, is not to use the farm as the only security, because sometimes they don't have that, but to look at the produce. It saddened me. It's not the first time we hear about Unga Beto. Huh? Yeah.
You see, there are some places, one of the big challenges where we believe that government needs to put in is the infrastructure support. While the land was good, it was outside what was South Africa. Therefore, all infrastructure went into the white commercial areas. The farmers cannot succeed because transportation, as Padmani had mentioned, is a very critical issue. They're actually far from any market. The transportation costs will eat up all their value. And until we can make centers of exchange or silos or something close to them, if I look at a proposal and look at the income and the cost, and then just look at the transport costs, where they're going to sell to get profit, and it eats up all the profit. It's pointless for me to invest in there because I know they cannot succeed in the long term. That is where we would expect government, parliament to come together to say we need infrastructure to support our black farmers and not grants and whatnot. That is not helping the broader picture. Thank you.
A good example of what MD is talking about is are the silos that you see all around South Africa. The majority of those silos were built by the government money through the land bank and co-ops. Now we have new farmers and we expect them to have money from somewhere to build those silos. Then we spoke about the model. The issue of co-ops, I think we've spoken about. The third part about co-ops that have been, you know, DTI is still trying to build a co-op, but that's one area where we have not been successful. There are very few co-ops that have come up of late that have been able to be sustainable. So we would have to look into that. I think then I'll come to the channel. The roadmap to being land bank, we're talking about it. We are a position. It resides with you. I'm just an official. The jobs, creation, crystallized, we have what is called social accounting metrics. It's a metric. It calculates for each 1 million rand we put in agriculture, what would be the unit. Then it will give you the numbers. That's the work that is done by the model. That is done by, for example, the numbers that you get from Stats SA, DVSA, IDC, World Bank, IMF. It's a metric. So it assumes 1 + 1 = 2. If there's something wrong, it will give you a number. But it picked up that agriculture is still the most labor-intensive sector. For each 1 million that has been spent in agriculture, it will create, not just in the agricultural sector, through the whole market, about 10 jobs. The second one is mining with 4. So if we can allow demand in agriculture, we'll have a greatest impact on the creation of jobs. This year, the year under review, the total amount of the loans that were dispersed by the land bank is it 18 billion? No, somewhere there, although the book in net terms grew by, I think it's 12 billion, you know. Yeah, but in net terms the book grew by 5.5 billion. By that amount that we created, if a farmer gets a loan on production, the farmer does not immediately decide to, because he's got another loan, to employ more people. He will continue with the farm worker that he has. That is called maintenance. But if the farmer puts on a silo or infrastructure or something like that, then it adds on. For the year under review, 10% of the, I think it's 18 billion of the total loans, 10% of that was used for infrastructure, which create new jobs of about, I think it was 13 million or so. I don't have those numbers, but they were in the annual report. We can check.
Statistically, for every million we extend as a loan, 700,000 is going to go back into the agricultural system. It doesn't remain. They're going to buy inputs. They're going to put tractor. All that is money that is spinning around in the system. The 30% is actually what the farmer needs to operate with in his system. The rest has to go to various inputs and various services. 70 to 80%.
Yes. The 4% is a question that will produce a new instrument that we can use. I think we're talking about land bank being on the agricultural sector, the consolidation. How do we better the lives that started exactly there? What can we do as agriculture family? I agree with you, Chair. Bringing all these institutions under one roof will be the big step moving forward. But also, the review of the Land Bank Act will have a great deal. Thank you.
That is it. Mama? The challenge about another bite is I've just had a little bite here.
Okay.
I'll have to ask somebody to take charge. I have a 12:30 at E209 with other chairpersons, with the house chair and the speaker. That would be my only handicap. I have no problem to allow us to go ahead. Mama, you seem to be the popular view. I mean, popular choice. You don't know what Mama is capable of. You know, as you see her, she represents literally hundreds of thousands of TA members. Just being here alone and power she holds. Thank you, Mama.
Thank you. You were talking about China, Brazil, and India. And if Maputo declaration can be implemented, what can be the situation? Because we are still very far, you know, at zero, what. If it can be implemented, it can really bring better lives to our farmers.
Mama, I can just, well, I was still busy picking. We'll take the payroll in that order. Mrs. Dane, Mr. Brahm, I saw Mr. Gela and Mr. Bamler in that order. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I really must thank the Land Bank for coming. And to be honest, this portfolio, I think you've picked up in the way that we ask questions that we are a bit frustrated. We are frustrated because we know all the things that you've told us. We know that agriculture can throw the jobs. We know that agriculture is not supported in South Africa. We know that what other countries do for their farmers. We also realize, and if I say we, maybe from my side, that's one of the people that came into the country and that is now almost being seen as, you know, everything that's wrong is because of what happened in the past. There are many things that were wrong. We all agree to that. But I think what we need to get to a point to is to realize that we can't repeat mistakes. And I'm in this mind frame and time frame because we have just went through a week of oversight in preparation for this 1913 reopening of land plan. My concern is all the silos. And my concern would be around your influence in your proposal to cabinet in looking at, and that's what my question that I asked, there is a massive need out there. And the need we realize is not just for financing, it's in this package. I know the Unga farmers in Yugi. I know most of the farmers in the areas. We don't just work with conditional farmers. We work with all farmers. We know the challenges in communal land. We know challenges on land reform. We know the problems. So I want to ask you, for us to support you, you must also support us in your presentation to cabinet. Because I'm not always sure that the other departments understand agriculture. And unfortunately, in cabinet, you know, ministers take decisions on specific departments, but not with the background from and the understanding of things that you explained to us today. I was sitting here when you spoke your introduction, and I was just hoping that more people can hear this, because this is what we're missing. We're missing it on the ground. We could see it in the kind of comments that you made about MECs. Because people do not have this background. And I want to say that, I want to say that farmers, what farmers did get support, but was not only the financial support. It was a package of a million things that went along with it. And that is what I keep on saying, this word of a farmer support program. Professor Nick Funk mentioned it and mentions it everywhere that it's going. And someone, I don't know who, and it can't be Basi Bambisani of the present, because I think he's also feeling that there's a vacuum. But I don't know who needs to pick up on this. Where does it need to go? It's not going to help Land Bank to be able to learn more funding. It is going to help farmers, but it's not going to help agriculture as a whole if we don't bring this thing, put it nicely packaged somewhere onto someone's table. So, we've been saying that agriculture and the department is failing. But I don't think it is the department per se. It is the fact that they don't have enough money, that governments focus, rightly or wrongly, towards social assistance, and not towards making sure that we put more funding into things like agriculture that can put people actually on their own feet so that we don't have to put more and more and more and more in social upliftment. So I don't know how we're going to fix this thing. And it's also a frustration from our side, because we have been trying to say that there's a problem, but we can see it. But how do we get that message somewhere where anyone can understand that government needs to support agriculture in order to change the legacy of the past, land, poverty, inequality, needs agricultural support in a massive way. And while we have this silent system, You can put in as much funding in loans as you want to. You can help and assist as much as you want. If they don't have a railway line to come pick up the train, if you don't have a market system, if we struggle with imports that we think is not good for our country, if we cannot export because there's back spot that we can't fix, if we cannot do all these things together, financing is not going to fix it. So I don't want you to answer me. I'm just saying, I think you picked up on the frustrations because we didn't really have a lot of questions on your stats and your facts the way that it had come from your portfolio of finance. But it's just the frustration of how do we fix this? How do we tell someone, fix this? And I'm sorry to say that just the reopening of the land claims is not going to fix it. And my concern is that we need to put something in place that will make sure that by reopening, I'm not against reopening, I support the reopening, but we need to make sure that it's not going to cause more claims. Because, you know, we know. If you can't put extra financing into your farm because you have this thing that tells you there's a claim hanging and you never know when it's going to be processed, farming stops. Input cost stops. Everything stops. So, I don't have a question. I just really hope that we can get this message to everyone out there that needs to make sure that we must fix agriculture.
Honorable or
Thank you very much, Mama Chairperson. Chairperson, I also I'm going to say a couple of things out of passion, out of love, and also love for this beautiful country and all her beautiful people who have so many expectations, who have so much hope. And unfortunately, in certain instances, we have failed them. In certain instances, they are also to blame that they are failing themselves. There are opportunities, and one should grasp the nettle and walk the road. This culture of dependency must come to an end. Your grandmothers, my grandmother, father, they all earned very little. But on that, they brought us into this world and made us what we are today. And I think that example should go out to everybody. But, Chairperson, you know, I just want to quote the Roman political commentator, Cicero, who said that of all occupations from which gain is secured, there is none better than agriculture. Nothing more productive. Nothing sweeter. Nothing more worthy of a free man. Of course, I'm quoting what he said. And I agree. Now, Jefferson, I just want the officials here to know that you've come a long way since 2007. And I want to pay tribute once more to the fact that you are all fundis in your own field in working with money. And that when you took this over, I had doubts that you were going to succeed to rescue someone that was in intensive care, as the minister at the time said. That we might have to attend the funeral of the land bank. But thanks to you, the support that you get from your minister, at that time, Trevor Manuel and now Pravin Gordhan, and my good old benchmate, he was my benchmate in Parliament, that's now Chancellor Nene, as Deputy Minister, who seems to be the main focus. His focus is on you. So I want you to remain steadfast. Remember that when you pursue righteousness and truth, you will have to cross many hurdles. But please, do it nevertheless. At the end of the day, what will free you is the truth. I refuse to allow anybody to tell me that you must try and cover this thing up. Don't talk about that. And in our case, we are often told we must find out how does the movement feel about this. I say that the movement created laws. And those laws must be implemented without fear or favor. And that has been my cry all along. I mean, I can't sleep happily at night when I must hear that 100 million rand that was meant to develop our people went into the pockets that never deserved it. And they are hiding around today, and our people are daily becoming poorer and poorer. And that is going to come to haunt us, Chairperson. The fact that we have let our people down. And I hope that those people can sleep peacefully. They won't. They won't, because it's blood money. Now, Chairperson, there are a number of issues here that were raised, and I'm not going to go into them. I hope that the lady and gentleman there would love to give an elderly man who is kicking now, who is beckoning to return to where he belongs one day very shortly, that you would be willing to give me your business cards. I will not worry you. If there is an issue, I will definitely call you. Chairperson, the one issue that I must place on record. I've come a long way with the Agriculture Committee. I have seen what has happened, and sometimes I can cry. That people who were placed in a position of trust to better the lives of our fellow human beings had abused that trust, and that there will be consequences. You must always remember that there is a court of conscience, that when we are entrusted to look after millions and we abuse that trust, there's a price to be paid. And you will see those that have abused these things, who have abused the people's confidence, you may be seeing it already, that those people will never be successful. And all I'm pleading for, Chair, is that to place, there must be closer cooperation, yes, between DRDLR and DAF. There must be closer cooperation. But to run this bank and say, Agriculture, you take it over again. Please, Chairperson, I want to place on record that in the 12, 13 years that I've been on the Agriculture Committee, my experience tells me that you rather let the experts do the job, although it has an agricultural impact, and therefore it needs to work with agriculture. It needs people who have the professional background to run it. Otherwise, Chair, we will have the same situation again. Our problem is that we have people with long fingers. And what is not happening in our country is that when they are found to have put their fingers in the till, and they are warned, the powers that be clamp down on you. You know, you are belittling the land bank. That's what I was told 7, 8 years ago. And what has happened subsequently has vindicated me. But I warned against these things. And I'm pleading, Chairperson, and I want it to be on record. I'm one of those that with the last breath in me will say in God's name, let professional people who are qualified in banking run the land bank. It is not meant for officials who, because they have a connection here or there, use all means, all crooked means. I mean, what happened here is actually treason. And 100 million rand is ripped off, creating fictitious projects. When I asked that we must go out and see where these projects are, let's do our oversight, every reason in the book was found to prevent us from doing that. And I found out on my own there was no gold project. There was no mill project. There was no dairy project. Went all into the hands of friends and connections. And a person who is alleged to have had a major finger in this was the man who was the acting CEO of the bank at that time, and he was defended to the hilt. This I cannot stand, Harrison. I believe that one day all of us are going to be held accountable. But remember, before you are held accountable over there, you will see that you are accountable in this world. You pay. Whatever good you do, God will give you a little bit of interest on it. Whatever bad you do and cheat poor people, you shall pay compounded interest. In conclusion, Jefferson, it is quite clear that the complaints that we always have here came up again. This business of dual responsibility, province and national. National makes budgets available, province spends. And province is not prepared to be accountable. They have their own way of doing things. Only this term of parliament, 4.5 years, but not only now. When I was here since 2001, I have rarely seen, in fact I've never seen all 9 provincial MECs present here at Parliament come and account. Never seen it. They never came. There's something seriously wrong with that model. When provincial MECs are not prepared to be accountable to Parliament which provides its budgets. When you are told that we are responsible to the NCOP, not to the NA. Jefferson, you know I become emotional. When I see that what is meant to help those unfortunate souls down there, that those people are left wanting, that those people get no answers from government departments. You know, I grew up in a milieu. You gentlemen and ladies must know, I was a member of parliament in the tri-emeral parliament. Now, I'm not ashamed about it. Not at all. And I was accountable to every voter in the parliamentary constituency that sent me here. I could have belonged to the Fucek party. They would support me. Because I was prepared to take up the problems and cudgels on behalf of every voter. I had 15,000 voters. I knew 90% of them. Today, I can cry. And I take up any problem. I do not get any help from any government department. You rarely get an acknowledgement of a letter that you send. And I feel that I have betrayed people who come to us as MPs thinking that we can change their station in life. Largely due to the fact that the departments never respond to you. So I want to thank you for being here. Wish you well. And especially you, Sluvi, may you succeed in your next assignment. I know that you will not drop our Sluvi clan. And I'm an honorary member of the Sluvi clan. Please, see that whatever you do, let the truth prevail. But at the end of the day, there is a higher court than this one here, than the Supreme Court or the Constitutional Court. And the judgment of that higher court is a very severe one. Thank you very much.
The next one, I don't know where it's coming.
You know, when the prophet has spoken, you should not speak because it's covered most of the things. But one does not help, but you have to speak because your presentation has been so good and your answers as well. And you're talking of problems that we've seen, that we know of. But some of the letters, be factual, are political, especially in this department here that we are heading. We cannot always blame the officials. Let us be fair and open. Some of those officials, even in our department, are good officials. But leadership, political leadership, you know, you can say whatever you can, but in previous governments, you need a political leader that knows agriculture. Let us be clear here. Sitting with a crisis here. This is a crisis that we have here within this department. A real crisis. political. Their cause, Mr. Abram, they're working what we're calling it between the province and national. It's so bad, the intergovernment is so bad that you give money to provinces and you don't know how that money is spent. When you're in those provinces, you come and get projects that do not exist. You know, in my area, I'm from Bomvane, Elodie. There was once a project, a banana project, and I told them I've never seen bananas in this region. And they said, the provincial officials said, no, you're going to see bananas around the killer. Up to today, that money was wasted. I've never seen, they will never grow bananas in Elodie. From Port St. John's, yes, upwards to Natal, but not in Elodie. We're near the coast. So there are so many of those projects. Then what you are, it's quite true. Infrastructure in those places, Maclay, Elwood, all those places, was there. We left it to rate. Those farms had fences, there were silos, milling places and all that, but we left that to Detroit. Sometimes it's because of the people who deploy as MECs. That is a bottom line, that's a problem. The problem you encounter in Free State is in all the provinces. If I'm an MEC, I'll see to my place, my family, and that is that. And unfortunately, there's no men in which we can monitor that from national to province. That needs to be addressed. Then you've got agriculture, you've got DTI doing agriculture. Yes. In Kanduli, there is an irrigation scheme being financed by DTI. Being financed. You get municipalities doing their own thing there, you know. Besides, it's been true that there is not much funding, finance for agriculture. But there's so much wastage that is done with agriculture as well. So those things are political, unfortunately. I don't know, but they are political. And also the dependence on social grants, it's true. But then you've got to give these people something to do so that they earn their money. So those are quite a few things that are very, 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 very important. In the meantime, the people are suffering. They are suffering. Really, really, really suffering. I mean, we've even given tractors. You don't even know where those tractors are. They pay for them. Nobody can give an account of it. We've written and we've given up. You know, Honourable Madam Peperson, we've given up. Mafisa, we've given up. You don't even get an answer when you, as a member of parliament, you don't get a written answer. As I said, it's Unga Flats Farms, beautiful farms. Next to them, there's a potato farmer, Sir Roberts, who's a friend of mine. Beautiful, but they've been left to deteriorate. Those people have been writing, and I've been sending letters myself. There is nothing. You don't get an acknowledgement. Administration get an acknowledgement. I've received your letter. That's how I know administration, but you don't even get an acknowledgement from the department. I've never had it, but I can show you piles of letters that I've written. Not a simple acknowledgement that, yes, we've received your letter. So that is a problem that we are in, but it does not, I mean, there's nothing you can do. If you cannot do anything, what more about you? That's a problem we have. Members across the political spectrum, not only because I am UTM, all of us here, even the ANC members have got that problem. Some of them are scared to say we've got, but they have a problem. Sitting with a crisis with it, but we have to come, we have to solve it. I don't know how I'm going to solve it. But thank you very much for your input. You are truthful, and those are things that really happen. So thank you, and we also thank you. And I also support that land bank must remain in finance. We'll destroy it here. Make no mistake. Bring it here. We'll destroy it here. If you want to destroy it, bring it back here. Let it stay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Let me now also not be destructive. The first part of, I think, what we must do is that I want to follow the other members. I hope you're going to write something about this, what I'm going to say. I want you to write this because I want you to write this because it's very important.
because of what has happened in the past. You heard most in the first time I said I'm scared of numbers. The system created that a black person must not understand numbers. But Wood said you must never make them to understand science. You must never make them understand engineering. You must never understand money. It was deliberate. We're made to do this biology. Now, it's nice when you see black people succeed. I think we don't say that. I always appreciate, I think it was the OPE that I said, it was a white man doing good job. We must write that there are black people who are doing good out there. That's why I want to mention that. That you see where black people who are here are doing good. That's very good for our country. And we must say to you, you must say, Mr. Abraham, must not say when they are not there, when they are 72, they are gone. Must say it when they are here. For one reason, that there are black people who are doing good, who are succeeding in doing what it was in the past so difficult that black people cannot manage resources and manage the situation that we have them there. Therefore, I want to say good work, CEO, and good work at your team. You have made us proud. Why I single out this aspect is because there are so many other people that we give them responsibility for embarrassing the cause of our people. Liberation of the black people in particular, Africans in general, and all other South Africans. There are few of people like you who are doing good. Now, you must carry this flag. But I must say to you, I wish you don't steal. You know why people, you must, I always say when I'm doing my parliamentary work and say, I pray that one day I don't get to treaty. Mom, you pray for this thing, you pray to be good. I'm not a Muslim, but I'm a Muslim, pray. But you must pray to be good. Because what kills good people? You see, I've got into this house uneducated. I'm going to live so educated. But what kills good people is that at the ultimate end, they steal. That's what we kill out of our potential, of the people we have. Because the demon of what we have in our country, it's not the core mandate of taking the political responsibility to lead our people. It's our inability to remain clean. You see, Sisi, you are all good. You are presented all good. What we hope so, we have grown this bank from what the Prophet has said 7 years back, from bad to good. That's a good compliment. It deserves performance bonuses than other people who just get bonuses. Therefore, but what you must keep out of doing is to steal. You see, when you steal tomorrow, we're going to be the first one to say, those people are bad people. Because we want every resource that we have to go to the ordinary people of our people, masses and the poor. Therefore, you make us proud. That's why I went to school. I'm doing maritime studies, a diploma in maritime studies. Because I was an official in myself before. What used to kill me is that you find real people coming to our panels and make presentations on us on social housing there. I was doing social housing. You find that the duty of this profession is just to introduce the white guy. Then they speak, then he sits, and then he runs the company. I don't believe that. I said, if I want to venture the modern environment, I must understand the concept. I don't want to look like that black person who came to me and introduced them, and then they speak. Then he looks good, he says he runs somebody. But you have changed that kind of a mentality. And I can see even as you make that kind of a presentation, that you understand it from here. That's what we have to, if we say we want to run a country, that we should be in control of the detail of how to run a country. Therefore, I'm saying it's one of the compliments. The political mentality, you see this thing of the political mentality one must deal with. You see, I always say, when you're a politician, when I was still an activist,
the person is elected in the national leadership. She was the element. She didn't know anything. Now when he's the national leader, he's clever than all of you. But you have not gone through like a process of understanding. Now this person, all of a sudden now he's the brightest. He's the brightest now.
We should listen to this kind of person.
This is the dichotomy of the system of government that we have. Now, if I'm an MP now, all of a sudden I'm very clever now. I know. This results who people redirecting resources of government to unfunded mandate, to unregulated mandate. It doesn't just wake up and say, now, because we must change now, we must go to this direction. Now, all officials were expected now to run and redirect. That's why people get, at the end of the day, they get to prison. Because you're shaken. I like that you are not shaken by these two witnesses who wanted you to do something that is not regulated by the real government. Now they want to do something because they just became so clever now, they know things. Now, it's correct. We want officials in this government and the people of Africa who stick by the rules. Because you don't want to be arrested. You must be patronized, politicians. Our duty is to make the noise that we're making. Because we don't specialize on anything, we specialize on everything. Do you understand? Yes. That point is very critical. We might think that what we are raising is manual. But it's what was in confronting. When first day I asked a question, that you still remember, Mama, I said, this project of the scheme that we're launching, did it wait here until we didn't open it? Those people, they didn't respond in the way that they wanted. Because we keep these things to make us as politicians look good and leave the rules, and you are going to be in danger. I'm going to be a bit harsh on the last one.
Sorry, Honourable Member, if you can come to an end it. Because
I'm going to be a bit harsh. I think the response on the fishing and farming reserve, not because I have an interest. I'm still a student. I'm still studying this. I hope I'm going to pass this year. But the world, one conference, feed and food and feed. South Africa is a rich, the coastal environment. Is the last country. It's not even counted in Africa in terms of fish farming. We were told it's Egypt, China, and Nigeria. Ourselves, we are nothing. 3 weeks back, a person who specialized on aquaculture told me that when I said, no, we are starting something on fish farming, he said, you are not in South Africa, fish farming is not existent. I was very sure. Now, your response that you have not thought about it, it's not as I think with speed in that field, you must quickly develop something, do research in relation to that. Because fish in this country is the best market for the majority of our people. And we should begin to get into a process that fish is becoming what we can use to feed the majority of our people. Therefore, a lot of research needs to be done in that respect. I know more than 100 students now. We have two SAMHSA. I just left 2 weeks back, or 3 weeks back, to Sweden. One of my friends or my partner is in that program. They must do a lot of work, do a lot of investment in that field. The world outlook, when we talk about treasure, the location of treasure, I want to support them. You are not going to be successful, I'm telling you. If you are, I can study in a daisy environment like this. It must be clear for me to be able to study where. If you are in the agriculture department, you are not going to be successful. Because the difficulty of working in an unconducive environment is that the bureaucracy and the system overwhelm you and you are unable to move. Finance is one of the most successful and stable departments in South Africa. It's a reality. Yes. Since 1994, we know. That's why you are succeeding. It's an added advantage. Therefore, your location is there. But what I don't understand within that, with all the challenges we're facing in terms of government funding, you are located in finance. What are you saying to them? in relation to the actual challenges and the experiences we have in the world in terms of government intervention, have presented what you are presenting to us, that for the land bank to be successful, government must be able to come in a large scale to make sure that it intervenes. You see, this thing of thinking that we are going to intervene.
Honourable
Member,
lastly,
please. Yeah, lastly. Please. Okay. Farming is not an article. We can farm in a large way. Do you understand? As everybody is a farmer. Like an RDP. I like that point. Because what Mr. Gena is talking about, that commercial farming of first learning, that's the thing that the community in this environment must eat. Not to sell and to be competitive in the environment. Therefore, as long as we understand that there will be few farmers, commercial farmers, that we should build, that government should be focusing on that, not in a in an active way that everybody gets, but to what extent you presented, what are presenting to us, to try that, to say, you need to change the way you think about this. So thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, honorable members. Before we give them any chance to respond, the program you are having in your hands, it will be discussed on Friday because of time. If we keep on, we direct ourselves to go and have lunch. And,
Chair, can I make a proposal that we ask them to respond and release them and then discuss it very quickly? Because Friday is going to be difficult. It's four or five committees together and we it's going to be very difficult. And we are sitting there so that we push ourselves now that we do it quickly, because we are hungry and we won't take lots of time to discuss this.
Honourable members, the directive is from the chairman, so that we look at this program, and on Friday we are going to discuss them, and I can't go beyond that. Nedbank, do your best, but before you do your best, me too, I would like to say to you, you know, really you have done a good job. That's why when I said it's long, we've been waiting for you, but at the end of the day, here you are before us, and we are very proud. Just like many members, honorable members, me too, I'm saying it must never go back to where it was. We must remain in treasury so that we can see a good job. You see, they will always be very, very a liar. A liar. And I head over to Lente now.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks to the committee members for the kind words. I think the majority of the issues that have been raised are lessons to all of us. It's things that we have to aspire to work on, and for that we really appreciate. Smaller things, maybe, Chair, that I can touch on. The first one was from the Chair on Maputo Declaration. Maputo Declaration says that 10% of the budget should go to agriculture, and we're sitting less than 2%. Chair, if we can move towards that, we can make a greater impact. But in South Africa, the challenge is less on money. The challenge is the ability to do the job. We are paying extension officers. I think there are 2,000. But the product is not there. So we will have to, before we achieve this 10%, let's put the citizens in. But it will have a great impact. Mr. I agree with most of the points that you have raised. The silo mentality. The question that you are asking is what should be done. I think this is a parliamentary committee. We have all the powers. The first thing exactly on this issue is to call all the players in agriculture at national, Department of Rural Development, the Land Bank, and call all the provinces on a particular day where we can honor our ways and come up with a working document to get people that can change all the levels. Because the issue of the rural development strategy is not just about changing the land bank. It's about putting the infrastructure. Do we need a provincial department to report to two different departments at national level? What's the role of the land bank? Provinces and the partnership, what is that fund, provincial fund?
that I could not ACASA. No, no, not ACASA. It's an agricultural bank. Yes. A good example is we were attending the discussion just sure, which the minister normally of agriculture, you know, arranges, which has all the good type of intention. But in that meeting in December, the majority of the provinces have spent about 10%, 15%, you know, 3 months to go. But they didn't want to return the money because it will be spent over the next 3 months, and I don't think they have those controls. But all those things, even the land bank, we still have a lot of inefficiencies. The turnaround was still taking a bit longer. The cost at least has been maintained. But the monitoring still has to improve. We know those things. So if we can all come together through this college and we then lay the foundation upon which we can work, we'll be able to move forward. And Mr. Abraham is right again. The culture of dependency doesn't help anyone. And thanks for kind words. And Mr. Mark, have we informed the National Treasury? We have. We set a program. We indicated what impact it will have if we work together. So it's two-pronged. One, the engagement with the National Treasury, which has been ongoing for some time. The second one is the one that the Prime Minister will have to take it through Cabinet. So we have worked on that. But we are at the level where we think we know what are the challenges. I hope, and we hope, the commitment that staff at the bank have indicated will make sure that in 5 years come, the 5 years to come, the bank is in a far better position than the way it is now. We do agree with members that if the land bank has been efficient during the past 10 years or so, we'd be far, far ahead. But that did not happen. We just have to go back and review our own operations. And the future is promising. And this committee has played a significant role in Stavron. I remember the first time I came here when you had these issues, and we made a commitment that there were some of the things we were going to do. In all those things, Stavron, and the presentation of what we call the turnaround strategy with 3 phases, what needed to be done, about 95% or 96% of the things have been done. A couple of things that we have not been able to achieve that we're still working on, but we seem to be on the right track. And thank you so much, Trich, for all the support that we have. And thank you.
The meeting is adjourned. Until we meet, come on Friday, please, members.
Yeah.
You have this tendency of staying away on Friday. Come on. Please.